informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Corey Morris. United Nations Secretary General Kofi Annan and Secretary of State Colin Powell are trying to develop a plan now to increase security in Iraq. That in the wake of this week's deadly bomb attack on the UN compound in Baghdad. Correspondent Nathan King has the latest from UN headquarters in New York.
U.S. Secretary of State Colin Powell at the UN for the first time since the bomb attack in Baghdad said it was a sad occasion, but one filled with determination. As well as working on the security situation, the Secretary of State said the U.S. is working on a new U.N. resolution that would call on member states to do more in Iraq. Some countries, like India, say they need such a resolution before committing troops to Iraq. However, for a resolution to pass at the Security Council, France, Russia, Germany, and many other countries may push for a larger role for the U.N. in post-Hussein Iraq, something the White House has been long resisting.
Nathan King, New York.
Meanwhile, there's speculation today the bombing of the headquarters in Baghdad this week might have been an inside job of sorts. The New York Times says investigators are checking allegations Iraqi security guards assigned to the compound helped the suicide bombers. 23 people were killed in that blast, including the UN's top man in Iraq. The Times says the guards were assigned to the facility by Saddam Hussein's government, and when he was ousted from power, the guards simply stayed on. Secretary General Kofi Annan isn't commenting on the report. President Bush got an earful from thousands of protesters yesterday while headed for a fundraiser at the University of Portland. Demonstrators waved signs and shouted, denouncing the president's economic and environmental policies as well as the U.S. occupation of Iraq. But the president defended his stance on his actions in the Middle East.
In Afghanistan and in Iraq, we gave ultimatums to terror regimes. Those regimes chose defiance, and those regimes are no more.
Riot police kept the protesters away from the president and also guarded intersections and residential neighborhoods where his motorcade passed. Bush spoke at a $1 million fundraiser for his 2004 reelection campaign.
Okay, so I'm a teenager, right? And everyone's so quick to judge me. On the outside, I may look like... But on the inside, I'm all... Just because I look like doesn't mean I act that way. In fact, I'm actually involved in crime prevention. That sounds more like this. It's really a great way to convince adults that while you may be looking, you're really thinking.
Call 1-800-722-TEENS to find out how to make your community a safer place for everyone. Get involved. Get the number and call. 1-800-722-TEENS. A public service message from the Crime Prevention Coalition of America, the U.S. Department of Justice, and the Ad Council.
Israel is promising more strikes on Palestinian militants, that threat following yesterday's deadly missile attack in the Gaza Strip. The co-founder of the militant group Hamas and two other people were killed in the attack by Israeli forces. A senior Israeli security official says that strike is just the beginning. He says there will be more attacks on what he called the terrorist infrastructure. Japan says it's uneasy about the prospects of a nuclear power on the Korean Peninsula, and for that reason, the Japanese Defense Ministry is asking for about $1 billion in the coming national budget. The money is intended to develop a missile defense system.
One of the reasons people give for not buying LoJack is where they live. But that has little to do with whether your car will be stolen. It's where you drive. Do you drive to work? To a mall? To the city? That's why you need LoJack. Nationally, stolen vehicles that have LoJack are recovered over 90% of the time. And LoJack guarantees they'll recover your vehicle within 24 hours after you report it stolen to the police, or LoJack will reimburse you the cost of your LoJack system. See your car dealer or LoJack.com.
Alabama State Supreme Court Justice Roy Moore says he will take his Ten Commandments case all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court if he has to. Moore is still refusing court orders to remove a Ten Commandments monument from the rotunda of the state judicial building. Moore contends the issue is not really about religion, but more about the government's policing people's thoughts.
We're in a situation in this country where judges are telling us what to think and who to believe in. And they simply can't do that.
Moore made his comments earlier on NBC's Today Show. The case revolves around the constitutional mandate, of course, separating church and state. And police in West Virginia have now released a sketch of a man who may be involved in a string of sniper shootings near Charleston recently. The sketch is of a white man with dark hair and a goatee. The information used to build the sketch came from witnesses to two of the three fatal sniper shootings that happened more than a week ago. Detectives, along with federal agents who worked in the Washington, D.C. sniper incidents last year, say the bullets used to kill three people in West Virginia Virginia were all fired from the same weapon. I'm Corey Morris, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Ligas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Ask Shirley MacLaine, and she may tell you she was Marie Antoinette or even Zeus in another life. Believe that or not, I'll tell you about some real automotive reincarnations when I come back. Want to know the secret to finding a shop that can keep your car running like new? Find the cleanest shop in town, where cleaning is top priority. Not talking about clean floors, but better shops have those too. I mean shops that have the best training, equipment, and chemistry to clean every air, fuel, and fluid system in your vehicle. Keep it clean, and you don't have to keep replacing parts. Find your clean shop at bgfindashop.com. That's bgfindashop.com. You won't need a seance to see where your old car might have gone. Just drive to your new car dealer, because 12 million vehicles were recycled last year. Thanks to Open Loop Recycling, any scrap of steel liquefied in the process melting furnace can be reformed into any shape. That means fenders of old Crown Vicks or Caprices might reincarnate as hoods of brand new Mercedes. And like the mythological Phoenix, steel conquers its trial by fire and is actually strengthened in the recycling process. I'm Bobby Likas. Like us, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
He's the man who uncovers corporate lies, exposes political corruption, and has a clear vision of what America could become. Here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome to our program today, William James. The chain is no stronger than its weakest link, and life is, after all, a chain. And what are the weakest links in the chain of American democracy? How far has this radical right-wing Bush administration departed from traditional American values? This is, I think, the question of our time. The beginning of this thing started way back when. In fact, here's one of the little intros to it from the beginning.
Yet any time you and I question the schemes of the do-gooders, we're denounced as being against their humanitarian goal. They say we're always against things, we're never for anything. Well, the trouble with our liberal friends is not that they're ignorant. It's just that they know so much that isn't so. Now,
this is where the incarnation of the modern American conservative movement really took power, was when Ronald Reagan seized power in the United States, or was elected in the United States. Back before his election, when he was running for governor of California, and he made a remark like that, he was asked about it. Jack Kennedy was asked about Ronald Reagan, and this is his comment.
I did read that Mr. Reston's column in the Times, where Mr. Fulton Lewis had said that no one could get to the right of Barry Goldwater, but now I'm not so sure.
An interesting thing here. Yesterday we had in our third hour yesterday a number of clips from Franklin Roosevelt, and I just was deluged with email from people saying that was great stuff and I'd like more of that. So today I wanted to visit in our first hour here the departure of the radical right wing, that is the Bush administration, the neocons, the Reagan agenda and the Bush agenda. This is not traditional republicanism. It's not traditional conservatism, and it's certainly not consistent with the traditional values that are held by Americans. In our second hour, we're going to ask Joe Connison, author of Big Lies, how do conservatives distort the truth? He has some interesting stories. In our third hour, who are the objectivists and how have they changed the American conservative movement? Now, if that sounds boring to you, who are the objectivists? Consider these folks. Most people don't even know what this means. This is the Ayn Rand libertarian group. But they are at the core of this whole thing, this whole twisting of the conservative movement in the modern incarnation of it, in the modern incarnation of it. It's going to be fascinating. We're going to have Mike Cuban on, who runs a website that talks about how to out objectivists. And I think you're going to find it one of the most fascinating segments that we have ever done. And so let's get right into this. First of all, the intro here. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, and we're broadcasting live on stations coast to coast. We're also broadcasting live on the Internet at radiopower.org, ieamericaradio.com, live365.com, and with archives at whiterosesociety.org, and streaming and stream 145 of the Sirius satellite system. If you want to drop into our chat room, go to tomhartmanshow.com or just tomhartman.com. Follow the links to the radio show, and there's a link to the chat room, and you get in there and click the chat link. And I wanted to send a special greeting to Am1800 and Bartlett for President, and Brain Shrub, former Rush fan, Shep G, 2003, Strange Love, New Jersey, Way Left, J, and Z March Hare, who all actually showed up, all except for one, I think, before the show even started. These folks were here. It's wonderful. This is such great feedback, and it's so interactive. It's just remarkable. I've been doing radio for, what, more than 30 years, since 1968, whatever that adds up to. And it is so cool to have instant feedback from the folks that you're talking with and who are listening to you. So I realize many of you are listening as you're driving your car down the road and you can't drop onto the web, but if you happen to be at home, you might want to fire up a computer and check this out. So if we're going to talk about how the right wing's departed from traditional American values, we have to define what are traditional American values. And I think that a good starting point might be a couple of comments that Franklin Delano Roosevelt made, which really and truly did reflect the transformation, the absolute transformation of America that happened throughout the 20th century. I mean, people forget what a big change this is, and from the 19th century, it's just an absolute dramatic and significant shift. And you know, for example, from the New Deal, the Fair Deal, the GI Bill, the Great Society, liberal policies have made America the freest. I'm quoting now from Joe Connison's book. Liberal policies have made America the freest, wealthiest, most successful, and most powerful nation in history. And conservatism in power always threatens to undo that national progress. This is just great. I have to just share this one paragraph. He says, if your workplace is safe, if your children go to school rather than being forced into labor, if you are paid a living wage, including overtime, if you enjoy a 40-hour week and are allowed to join a union to protect your rights, you can thank liberals. If your food is not poisoned and your water is drinkable, you can thank liberals. If your parents are eligible for Medicaid and Social Security so they can grow old in dignity without bankrupting your family, you can thank liberals. If your rivers are getting cleaner and your air isn't black with pollution, if our wilderness is protected and our countryside is still green, you can thank liberals. If people of all races can share the same public facilities, if everyone has a right to vote, if couples fall in love and marry regardless of race, if we have finally begun to transcend a segregated society, you can thank liberals. Remarkable. As I said, we're going to talk to Joe in the second hour. But here, this is defining and framing the traditional worldview of America. I mean, this Jefferson had these values, and here's FDR with a comment about this.
We're not a warlike people. We've never sought glory as a nation of warriors. We're not interested in aggression. We are not interested, as the dictators are, in looting. We do not covet one square inch of the territory of any other nation.
Unless, of course, we're getting campaign contributions from Halliburton and Bechtel and, you know, on it goes. But number one, we don't want other people's land. We're perfectly happy to have our country right here. Number two, we see that there are real problems in America that we can do something about. Here's FDR on that.
I see one third of a nation ill housed, ill clad, ill nourished.
Now, of course, Reagan and Bush and the other conservatives would say, well, you know, tough. They're morally deficient, or they're lazier. We need to, you know, whack them upside the head, or we need to give more rich people more money so that maybe they'll build a factory here after they're done building their factories in China and the Philippines and Malaysia, to give these people a minimum wage job so that they can work 60, 70, 80 hours a week and maybe pay their rent. But no, FDR had a little better vision of what American government should be.
Better the occasional fault of a government that lives in a spirit of charity than the consistent omissions of a government frozen in the ice of its own indifference.
And that, of course, is the government that the conservatives would want you to have. For example, in today's paper, an article on the front page of today's New York Times about how the administration has pushed through. Here it is. A draft of air rule is said to exempt many old plants. A sweeping and cost-saving victory for industries is going to exempt more than 17,000 industrial plants and refineries from parts of the Clean Air Act. And we'll get into more of that a little later on. But just these are the examples. Well, you say, okay, that's those liberals. Well, you know, we're Republicans, conservatives. Well, okay, let's listen then to somebody that I don't think anybody would say this guy was not a Republican. And what his understanding of the problems that we face. Because this, you know, we had another three people die in Iraq and Afghanistan overnight. And this all ties together. This is all of one cloth. Let's listen to the words of General and President Dwight D. Eisenhower about the situation, the problem, the situation that America faced when he left office on January 17, 1961, which is when he gave this speech.
Our military organization today bears little relation to that known of any of my predecessors in peacetime, or indeed by the fighting men of World War II or Korea.
This is something new.
Until the latest of our world conflicts, the United States had no armaments industry.
None. Consider that.
American makers of plowshares could, with time and as required, make swords as well.
It's like Ford made tanks, you know.
But we can no longer risk emergency improvisation of national defense. We have been compelled to create a permanent armaments industry of vast proportions. Added to this, 3.5 million men and women are directly engaged in the defense establishment.
This was new.
We annually spend on military security alone more than the net income of all United States corporations.
This may well still be true.
Now, this conjunction of an immense military establishment and a large arms industry is new in the American experience. The total influence, economic, political, even spiritual, is felt in every city, every state house, every office of the federal government. We recognize the imperative need for this development, yet we must not fail to comprehend its grave implications. Our toil, resources and livelihood are all involved. So is the very structure of our society.
Now, keeping in mind, for example, that Dick Cheney was part of the military-industrial complex, Halliburton is, of course, one of the largest contractors in Iraq right now, one of the largest profiteers of the war in Iraq right now. In fact, Halliburton lost over $400 million the year before, that last year, it's with fiscal years, it's not quite on the calendar year, but last year they lost over $400 billion. This year, they're set to show a record profit, or a substantial, nearly $100 million profit. And many are suggesting, increasingly loudly, that the reason why the United States does not want to bring the United Nations into Iraq is that we would have to pull them, these contracts, from these eight large defense contractors, several of whom Donald Rumsfeld fronted for when he was a defense military-industrial complex lobbyist before he became Secretary of Defense, We would have to pull the contracts and the profits from them and allow the United Nations to handle them. And, of course, then those corporations wouldn't make all these big bucks, and they wouldn't be making the large, large, large campaign contributions to the Bush administration and their campaign. And what then would happen in 2004? Serious situation here. How has the right wing changed America? This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
One ringy dingy. Oh, a gracious hello. Ernestine Tomlin here, WebEx Communications Diva. If you're still actually showing up for sales meetings in person, I feel sorry for you. And sympathy doesn't come easy to me. All the hassle, the waste of time and money makes me just want to take you and shake you. With WebEx online meetings, you can save your money, your time, and your sanity. Come see me at WebEx.com. Maybe I can slap some sense into you.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune into tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
Prepare to be astonished!
Okay, so just what is going on here, people?
Did you know that you can get the best of progressive talk radio on Sirius Satellite Radio Stream 145?
Oh, really? Well, that's remarkable.
Monday through Friday on Sirius Satellite Radio Stream 145 is loaded with political talk radio from the other side.
Hurrah!
Kicking off your morning with Doug Steffens' Good Day from 5 a.m. till noon Eastern Time, followed by the Tom Hartman Show from noon to 3 p.m. Then get different perspectives from different show hosts on Radio Free Speed Zone from 3 to 5 p.m.
Yeah, okay, that sounds good.
Family Talk with Dr. Mike Riera then takes the reins from 5 p.m. till by All American Talk Radio from 7 p.m. till 9. Then get ready to fire up your night with the Mike Malloy Show from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time, all live Monday through Friday on Sirius Satellite Radio Stream 145, powered by the only progressive talk radio network, i.e. America Radio Network.
So what do you want, a medal?
Well, isn't that special?
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
No one knows what it's like to feel these feelings like I do.
Welcome back. It's Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Al Arabiya satellite channel yesterday, this in the Boston Globe today, said that a new terror group had masterminded Tuesday's spectacular explosion, which destroyed the UN headquarters in eastern Baghdad, killing its top diplomat, quote unquote. And they went on to say the so-called armed vanguards of the Second Mohammedan Army said that it, quote, planned to continue fighting every foreigner and to carry out similar operations. Now, I haven't seen this reported anywhere else. I read three newspapers this morning, spent a fair amount of time online, and certainly was listening to the news last night. Maybe it's out there. But this by Vivian Walt, the Boston Globe correspondent in Baghdad, said that this new group, the armed vanguards of the Second Mohammed Army, that this is apparently, according to this article, or kind of reading between the lines of this article, she doesn't say much more than that about it, this is apparently a nationalist group. They're saying, you know, we don't want those stinking foreigners in our country, not, we're nasty terrorists, or something like that. Well, anyway, back to our thing here about how far has the radical right-wing Bush administration departed from traditional American values. And just wanted to share with you a couple of clips here at Dwight Eisenhower. This is Eisenhower talking about how, this again from his farewell speech, January 17th, 1961, about how we must, he's identified this thing, the military-industrial complex. Now here's what he said, we need to think about, this is how we should view this thing that Donald Rumsfeld and Dick Cheney were both major parts of before they joined this administration.
In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex. The potential for the disastrous rise of misplaced power exists and will persist. We must never let the weight of this combination endanger our liberties or democratic processes.
And I would suggest that that is exactly what's happened. What has happened is that the weight of the military-industrial complex, this drumbeat for war, that has been cranked up, and these corporations that Cheney's still getting what, $1 million a year in salary from Halliburton, and he's the vice president, and Halliburton is the company that's making all the money in Iraq, and people can't put two and two together and say, wait a minute, there's something weird here. And now they're, you know, here's on the horizon, ginning up the next one, getting ready for the next one. Here's this story from, this was in Yahoo News. I'm not sure. Oh, it's Associated Press. This is from the Associated Press. And I quote, Israel's ambassador to the United Nations said yesterday, that intelligence reports show the truck used in the deadly bombing of UN headquarters in Baghdad came from Syria! Yes, Syria, the new purveyor of terrorism to the planet. When Gillerman, the Israeli ambassador, was asked, are you really saying that's what this is all about? You know, Dan Gillerman, that the Syrians were behind the bombing of the UN. He says, I don't know that they were coordinated, but I do feel very strongly is that they were both part of the suicide bombing in Jerusalem and the one in Baghdad, both part of a concerted global terrorist network and terrorist war which has been won against the whole, which has been waged against the whole free world, end quote. And yes, there is some truth to that, I suppose, if you define exclusively us guys as the whole free world and them guys as the terrorist. But the reality is that it's not that simple. It's not that black and white, and you're not going to fight this and fix this with bombs. It didn't work against the IRA. I don't think it's going to work against these people. We have more than that to deal with. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Stay tuned. We'll be back right after this break.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements, and what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Hamilton.
And I'm Laura Miller.
Another Korean automaker is getting pressure from its workforce for better pay. By a 4-to-1 margin, 8,000 workers at Daewoo Motors voted yesterday to strike if they're not given a 24% raise. They follow workers at Hyundai, who struck for an 8.5% wage hike, and workers at Kia are in the midst of a series of partial walkouts for an 11% raise. Daewoo, however, is mostly owned by GM and may take a harder line on its workers' demands.
After months of wrangling, the United Steelworkers of America and Goodyear Tire and Rubber Company have a tentative new contract. If approved by some 19,000 steelworkers, the three-year deal would shut the doors on a Goodyear plant in Huntsville, Alabama, pink-slipping 1,100 workers in the process. Other details of the contract are not known, as union leaders are keeping tight-lipped on the fine print. It's not clear that the contract's ratification is a foregone conclusion. Many union officials believe Goodyear workers could reject the deal as they vote on whether or not to accept it over the next 2 weeks.
The stage is being set in the UK for the first widespread postal strike in 7 years. Talks on a new contract between the Royal Mail and 160,000 postal workers broke down this week, and the union plans to start strike balloting next week. Royal Mail has threatened that any strike would cause the money-losing service to lose even more business to private competitors, but many of those competitors are going on record saying they have no plans to try and move in on Royal Mail's market share during a strike. Royal Mail's offered a 14.5% wage increase but tied it to layoffs and a system-wide overhaul. The Communication Workers Union wants an 8% raise with no strings attached. The results of the strike vote should be known by mid-September.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio show about animals.
Welcome to Lifestyles of the Wet and Stinky. We're looking at fishy fat cats and wealthy crustaceans. This is Bloodsucking Leech here, sending you algae-covered wishes and caviar-laying dreams.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
Hi, I'm Steven Sack, and I host the Employees Lawyer Show on IE America Radio Network. We take calls from people all over the United States, and we help them in their job problems. So if you ever wondered what job rights you have and how to fight back, I'm the guy to call.
Listen to Steven at his new time on Sundays from 9 a.m. until noon and rebroadcast from 9 p.m. till midnight.
For more information on my show or other shows on the IE America Radio Network, go to IEAmericaRadio.com. It's the best advice I can give.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Yeah, my blood's so mad, feels like coagulating. I'm sitting here just contemplating. A cat with the truth, it knows no regulation. Handful of senators don't pass legislation, and marches alone can't bring innovation. When human respect is disintegrating, this whole crazy world is just too frustrating. And you tell me over and over and over again, my friend, I don't believe
we're on the eve of destruction. Well, I would tell you, and I have to say, and it's a tragic and terrible thing that we have soldiers in Iraq who really and truly do believe that they are on the eve of destruction, who are This is a letter from Marilyn Seeley in Madison, Florida. It's posted on bringthemhomenow.org. Bringthemhomenow.org, a website. She says, my son is in Iraq, whereabouts I cannot say, but I have heard from him. He and his platoon are so hungry and thirsty. By the time they got back to Kuwait, they stole a crate of MREs. They were caught, of course, but when the lieutenant found out how long they had been on one MRE a day and one bottle of water, he did not punish them. The thing is, why was this unit left to fend for itself? Who was furnishing them with a hot meal a day and all they wanted to drink? Nobody! Why not, by the way? Because the private corporations chose not to fulfill their contracts. The insurance prices went up, Marilyn. You just have to understand, insurance prices went up, and, you know, Halliburton and some of the other contractors just couldn't do those things that they promised they'd do. Anyhow, back to Marilyn's letter. They slept in and on and around their trucks because they had no tents. Their socks are worn out. They're getting athlete's foot from the condition. I've sent cans and cans of foot spray to them. And socks, where's the army supplies? Well, Marilyn, you have to understand, we've got these private contracts, this thing called privatization. It's supposed to be good for the rich people who contribute to Republican campaigns. Oh, yes, did they think six pairs of socks was going to last 6 months in those conditions? Oh, yes, they have PXs in some places over there. A can of foot spray there costs a soldier $6 a can. I can get it at Walmart for $4. Who's taking care of whom? Well, I think it's becoming increasingly apparent. And taking it to the next step, taking it to the big next step, I mean, broadening out the view. This from Reuters this week. With the end of the fiscal year nearing, it ends in October, with the end of the fiscal year nearing, the United States government's budget gap crept into record territory in July, surpassing $300 billion. It actually rose to $323.98 billion. Now, interestingly, a little farther down in the article, they say the 1992 budget year holds the record for the largest annual shortfall at $290 billion. I find it so strange that the press reports that we're about to break the 1992 deficit, and nobody ever points out that that was George Bush number one's deficit. The son is about to beat his father's record deficit. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937, and Richard in Durham, North Carolina is on the line. Richard, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Hey, Tom, how are you?
I am great, but I'll get better. How about you, Richard?
I'm good, thanks. But great, since it's a Friday.
Yeah.
Just want to ask your opinion on this, because your theme is how the government seems not to be expressing traditional American values. And I want to ask you if you wouldn't say that that's not also the same of the American people right now. Because I think about, because supposedly we're in a state of war, even if it's undeclared, and that's why they can have the Patriot Act and Homeland Security and things like that. That's their rationale for that. But at the same time, among the American people, we're not seeing any of the sacrifices that were made in World War II. In fact, people are rushing out to buy Hummers and Land Rovers. I mean, there's just as much excess consumption as there ever has been.
Well, that's what their president is telling them to do, Richard.
Well, no, and that's, to me, the problem. I mean, it's like the chicken and the egg. Is it the government encouraging that, or is the government getting away with what it's getting away with because the public is so selfish these days that they refuse to make any sacrifices?
What I think is going on, Richard, is two things at the same time. One is that, yes, there is this, you know, the greed is good mantra of the Reagan years has been brought back. And so there's this, among the upper middle class and the upper classes, it's, you know, conspicuous consumption. Rush Limbaugh in the Cigar magazine is talking about his favorite wine is a wine that costs $2,000 a bottle, you know, and buying Cuban cigars and things. I mean, just this whole conspicuous consumption is fashionable. Being rich is fashionable. And at the same time, you have a huge swath of the American middle class that is sliding deeper and deeper and deeper into debt and having to work harder and harder and harder just to keep their head above water. And as a result of that, they frankly don't have the time to read the newspapers, get into civics, show up at meetings on a Wednesday night where something's going on in town. You know, the civic activity has been replaced by the second and third job.
Right.
And so, you know, I think the people just, you know, they confine their political activity to the election cycle because they're so busy running as hard as they can in that rat's wheel to just keep even. Because the new pseudo aristocracy, these new neo feudalists, the conservatives, the cheap labor conservatives, as Joe Lyles calls them, have so changed our economy, people are freaked.
Well, is it just that the middle class is trying to keep up with the upper class and they're going into debt to buy these status?
No, I think they're trying to keep up with
things like that. Or
no, I think that they're trying to keep up with just survival stuff, okay. Richard. I mean, you have a situation now where the bankruptcies right now on a both a per capita basis and in absolute numbers are higher than they were in the depths of the Great Depression right now, and more than 50% of all bankruptcies in the United States are the consequence of people not being able to pay their medical bills.
Right.
We have serious crises happening amongst the middle class in America, and at the same time, even while interest rates are lower than they've ever been before, we used to have, I remember in the 60s and 70s, you'd get a credit card and the rates were never above 9% because there were these things called usury laws that made it a crime for a credit card company to charge more than 10%. Mm-hmm. Now they're 18, 19, 20% because it's been deregulated.
Right.
This, I think, Richard, is the real issue. Richard, thanks for your call. I appreciate your comments. Let me carry on here with this is, you know, getting back to the issue that's the issue. I mentioned this enormous debt we're about to slide into. We are now in the largest deficit in the history of the United States, second only to the second largest deficit in the history of the United States, which was run up under George Bush the Elder. And what did Dwight Eisenhower have to say about that?
As we peer into society's future, we, you and I, and our government, must avoid the impulse to live only for today, plundering for our own ease and convenience the precious resources of tomorrow. We cannot mortgage the material assets of our grandchildren without risking the loss also of their political and spiritual heritage.
Amen.
We want democracy to survive for all generations to come, not to become the insolvent phantom of tomorrow.
And that is what is happening right now. Democracy is becoming, as Dwight Eisenhower said, the insolvent phantom of tomorrow. Under the George Bush administration, under this corrupt, failed, hypocritical, ideologically driven administration. This is the core of conservatism. People say, what are the conservatives? You want to know? Take a look. The mask has come off. We can see what they're really up to. What they're really up to is rolling back the historic progressive reforms that created the golden era of America from the 1940s to the 1980s. 40, 50 years, actually from the mid-30s, you could argue, when we started coming out of the Great Depression around 1934. And right up until the early 1980s, we had the purchasing power was continually growing. You had families in America where a single wage earner could not only raise a family but also pay all the medical expenses and put money away for a safe retirement and put their children through college. All of that is gone now. That is the Reagan Revolution. That is the Bush compassionate conservative agenda. And it is continuing. It is continuing as fast as they can push it, as fast as they can make it happen. The whole idea, the whole traditional idea of the values of America, that we use intellect and decent purpose, that we participate in other nations in an internationalist way to move the world forward, that rather than simply confronting those who work or fight against us with violence, we seek to confront them in ways that also can engage them, as Britain did with the IRA ultimately, successfully. That this is the opposite model of what Israel's doing with Palestine. This is so obvious. What works and what doesn't? It's so conspicuous. And here Eisenhower, in his farewell address, January 17th, 1961. He talked about how the posture that the United States should hold in the world. And this is absolutely brilliant and so important for people to realize.
During the long lane of the history yet to be written, America knows that this world of ours, ever growing smaller, must avoid becoming a community of dreadful fear and hate, and be instead a proud confederation of mutual trust and respect.
Apparently, and Ann Coulter was young enough; she'd never heard of him. I don't know, but we must not become dreadful fear and hate. And he continues.
Together, we must learn how to compose differences, not with arms, but with intellect and decent purpose. Because this need is so sharp and apparent, I confess that I lay down my official responsibilities in this field with a definite sense of disappointment.
Can you imagine a president of the United States saying, I haven't done as well as I thought I could do?
As one who has witnessed the horror and the lingering sadness of war.
Unlike George W., who went AWOL during Vietnam.
As one who knows that another war could utterly destroy this civilization, which has been so slowly and painfully built over thousands of years. I wish I could say tonight that a lasting peace is in sight. Happily, I can say that war has been avoided. Steady progress toward our ultimate goal has been made, but so much remains to be done.
It's important, I think, to remember that the campaign theme that Eisenhower ran on was Eisenhower for Peace. They actually had a jingle, Eisenhower for Peace, along with the I Like Ike thing. And instead, it's like, lurch at war. Let's lurch at war. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937. And Jeff in Denver's on the line. Jeff, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Hi, Tom.
Jeff.
What I see as our major problem is right now is the reason things have been allowed to get out of control is the whole feeling of an individual. People, first of all, tend to think an I rather than we. The other thing is, people in general just don't take any responsibility for their actions and also don't feel they always feel, let's have the government fix this and so forth. They don't realize how much power they have. I think that's one of the reasons Dean is doing so well is a lot of individuals now are feeling, hey, we can do something. But
although I would say that, the conservative argument is that liberals just say that the government can fix everything, and therefore we have no personal responsibility. And I'd say that's nonsense. And liberals do not suggest that, or progressives do not suggest that. Yeah, that instead there's, yes, the FDR, for example, created the WPA, but it wasn't, government is going to do this. It was we together, we the people, are going to do something to bring ourselves out of this through the agency of government. This is where the cons miss it. They and particularly the libertarians, they completely disconnect from the fact that the United States government, what was unique about the United States government is that it is of, by, and for we the people. Pardon me, Jeff.
It's good stuff. Just need to do is help people see in this we thing and see the empowerment of the individual. In one sense, you go into a store and you see a 20-year-old kid say, I'll see if my suppliers, in the international chain, they say, if I have this in the store rather than seeing if we have it. So there's a disconnect that way. But then there's a discussion recently about computers and pollution in China from computer monitors being shipped over. And virtually everyone in the discussion blamed China rather than them, themselves, who are getting rid of their monitors without any consideration for the environment. Yeah. No one takes personal responsibility.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that a lot of that comes out of the – and thanks, Jeff, for that comment. I appreciate the call. And I think a lot of that comes out of this conservative mindset of get yours while you can. Think only for you are the most important person in the world. That's the core message of the conservative pitch. And you too. You are the most. Forrest in Kansas City's on the line. Forrest, thank you for calling the Tom Hartman program. Welcome.
I just had a quick comment about deficits and people that don't think that they're important. During the Clinton years, debt service as a percentage of federal expenditures was 18%.
Mm-hmm. And that was the cost of servicing debt from the basically from the Bush senior and Reagan years.
Right.
Now, in just 2.5 years, that's grown up to 24%. So now, every tax dollar you give the federal government, 24 cents of it does nothing but service debt.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, it really is.
It's mind-boggling.
It only contributes to further deficits, you know.
Right. And where does that money go? Well, George W. Bush, a lot of the tens of millions of dollars that he received from his family and trust funds and whatnot is in Treasury bonds and Treasury bills. I mean, you find that many of the folks in this administration are big holders of the bonds. So when you pay your taxes, 24 cents of every dollar is going to pay interest to folks like that, although the reality is that a good chunk of our debt is actually being held overseas. And in fact, I saw a thing in the Wall Street Journal earlier in the week that about a half, as I recall, between a third and a half of the deficit that was run up this year that was sold as debt on the open markets was bought by foreign central banks, which means they're trying to soften the blow. They're trying to prevent an absolute freakout. Forrest, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Stay tuned.
To create a real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation. But how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
Nice drive, Jim.
Thanks. You know, I wish my business plan was as straight. We just can't grow anymore with our current facility. I've looked at the price to build, but I'm afraid to spend the money.
Jim, I've known you since you've started your business. You succeeded because you made tough decisions and took risk.
Well...
Look, I had the same problem, but I called General Steel Corporation. The general helped me build my new office and warehouse, and I stayed within my budget. I couldn't believe the time and money I saved compared to traditional construction.
That's a steel building?
It sure is, but with the stucco and rock products provided by the general, you just can't tell. They engineered the building for this area and to fit my needs. When the economy rebounds, I'll be ready to gain market share.
Save time and money with a General Steel building. Call toll free 1-866-96-STEEL. Whether you need a 40 by 60 for under $13,000 or a 60 by 200 for under $49,000, call 1-866-96-STEEL. If you need space, you need the general. Call 1-866-96-STEEL today.
Wouldn't it be great if you could get everything you need for successful estate planning in one package? Well, now you can. The new Master Estate Kit offers a collection of legal power that would cost you $500 or more if prepared by a lawyer. Here's what you get. First, a legal will kit, one praised by nearly 500,000 buyers. Second, a living will kit that assures your wishes will be followed in case of an irreversible injury or illness. And third, a power of attorney kit that includes all the required forms. Order today and we'll include the new Family Legal Guide. It answers all your questions about small claims court, landlord agreements, personal bankruptcy, and much more. An $80 value, the complete Master Estate Kit costs only $39.95. For immediate delivery of the Master Estate Kit and your free Family Legal Guide, call 1-800-221-0393. Pay only $39.95 plus shipping. Every kit carries an unlimited money-back guarantee. Call 1-800-221-0393 now. That's 1-800-221-0393.
See the look on Nancy's face.
What's she doing?
I asked her if she wanted a boogie, and she just gave me this condescending sneer.
Is it the condescending, I don't boogie?
How would I keep up with her?
Right.
Boogieing.
Nancy can boogie. Yeah. Doug, I've never seen you dance.
Kind of looks like a frog in a blender.
I could dance with you till the cows come home. On second thought, I'd rather dance with the cows when you come home.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio program, take 48.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday for Animal Celebrity Boxing.
Boxing kicks butt.
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
Yeah, what a cat.
And that dog on ice, Tanya Harding.
Yeah, that dog will fight anyone for a block.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network.
Sunday.
That's
Tom Hartman Show.
Gizmo's back on the line in Tucson, Arizona.
First off, I'd like to tell you I'm on Sirius Radio 145 Left, and say hi to my other trucker buddies out there that listen to you, Kodiak and James. And
great.
I pulled this 18-wheel car over to the side of the road to speak with you. I read a couple articles that suggested that Bush Sr., had he gotten a second term, would have followed pretty much the same lines to go to war with Iraq. I'm wondering if there wasn't some kind of conspiracy all the way back to the 2000 election to get Jr. in so he could go ahead and fulfill the plans designed for their father in his second term. I enjoy your program. You're very informative, and I've learned a lot from listening to you, and I appreciate your program, Tom, so keep it up.
Well, thank you, Gizmo. That's very kind of you, and thanks for pulling the 18-wheeler off to the side. I didn't realize you were driving a truck. That's remarkable.
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Welcome back. It's Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Donald Rumsfeld was a director of the Swiss construction company ABB. He was in the board of directors when they got a contract to build two light water nuclear power plants in North Korea. This guy came out of the defense. We've been talking about the nuclear, the axis of evil, the military-industrial complex. How far has the radical right-wing Bush administration dragged us from traditional American values? Let me close with a prayer, because this is Eisenhower's prayer at the end of his farewell address in 1961, and this is my prayer for the country, and I think that I see the hope of this in several of the Democratic candidates. I think that there is a shining possibility for a very positive future if we can return to the values that Dwight Eisenhower held.
May we be ever unswerving in devotion to principle. Confident but humble with power, diligent in pursuit of the nation's great goals. To all the peoples of the world, I once more give expression to America's prayerful and continuing aspiration. We pray that peoples of all faiths, all races, all nations may have their great human needs satisfied.
Including those in the Middle East.
That those now denied opportunity shall come to enjoy it to the full, that all who yearn for freedom may experience its spiritual blessings.
Yes.
Those who have freedom will understand also its heavy responsibility, that all who are insensitive to the needs of others will learn charity.
Like the Bush family, for example.
And that the scourges of poverty, disease, and ignorance will be made disappear from the earth.
Of course, you're going to have to fight tooth and nail with the conservatives, but maybe we can make it happen.
And that in the goodness of time, all peoples will come to live together in a peace guaranteed by the binding force of mutual respect and love.
Mutual respect and love, says Dwight Eisenhower. This is how the British have successfully dealt with the IRA, dealing with people as human beings. Maybe we should try it. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. The news is coming up. Stay tuned. We'll be back with Joe Connison right after the news.
It ain't exactly real, or it's real, but it ain't exactly there. From the war against disorder, from the sirens night and day, from the fires.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
Hi,
truth seekers, this is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
Who says Mike Malloy is rational and, you know, I mean, whatever.
You want me fired, too?
I mean, I hate the guy. And
you hate me?
Ooh,
you hate me?
Why not put something on that says he's a great goof liberal?
Goof?
Yeah, I just can't believe it.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Corey Morris. It appears the United States is facing another likely showdown with the United Nations Security Council. The U.S. has introduced a draft resolution calling for more international assistance in Iraq. But France says it won't likely support the move unless Washington shares command over military forces within the country. The U.S. has been stepping up efforts to boost the multinational force in Iraq in the wake of this week's bombing of the U.N. compound in Baghdad. More on the story now from correspondent Steve Mort.
The UN bombing has prompted the US to push for help in maintaining security in Iraq, but Washington appears unwilling to cede control of security to the United Nations. France, Russia, China, and Germany have expressed a willingness to offer their backing as long as the UN's powers are extended in the areas of both reconstruction and security. UN Secretary General Kofi Annan says there are no plans to move beyond the UN's current humanitarian mandate.
There has been a question whether a UN Blue Helmets can take over from the coalition, and I have made it quite clear that the UN Blue Helmets will not do that. We don't have the capacity.
But in a sign of continuing tensions in Iraq, two more U.S. soldiers have been killed in separate attacks in and around Baghdad. Steve Mort, Washington.
Meanwhile, Iraqi security guards might have helped a truck laden with explosives get close to the UN's Baghdad compound the day of the deadly blast this week. New York Times says the guards were assigned their jobs by Saddam Hussein's regime before it was ousted from power. The Times also says those guards are all former members of Iraqi secret services. The head of Central Command says terrorism is emerging as the number one security threat in Iraq. General John Abizaid told a press conference at the Pentagon, time, energy, and resources are being devoted to understand and deal with the problem. He said the group Ansar al-Islam has increased its level of operations, and the group is considered highly likely as the suspect in the bombing of the Jordanian embassy in Baghdad earlier this month.
Okay, so I'm a teenager, right? And everyone's so quick to judge me. On the outside, I may look like... But on the inside, I'm all... Just because I look like... Doesn't mean I act that way. In fact, I'm actually involved in crime prevention. That sounds more like this. It's really a great way to convince adults that while you may be looking, you're really thinking.
Call 1-800-722-TEENS to find out how to make your community a safer place for everyone. Get involved. Get the number and call. 1-800-722-TEENS. A public service message from the Crime Prevention Coalition of America, the U.S. Department of Justice, and the Ad Council.
A series of tornadoes, including one reported to be a mile wide, hit south-central Michigan last night near Lansing. As many as 15 twisters reportedly touched down in Ingham County shortly after 9 Eastern Time, causing extensive damage and killing livestock. No serious injuries have been reported. A wildfire is causing thousands of people to flee their homes in western Canada. The forest fire jumped containment lines and is now at the outskirts of Kelowna, British Columbia. After fire crews reported progress against the 32,000-acre blaze yesterday, erratic winds then began pushing it back toward the city later in the day.
Hi, Tom Baudette for Motel 6. Dog owners will be happy to know whether your best friend is a purebred show dog or the lovably mixed-up product of a neighborhood indiscretion. They're equally welcome at Motel 6. No judgments here. So put the old Cocker Chow Labrador mix in the back seat and hit the road. But first call 1-800-4-MOTEL-6 or visit motel6.com. I'm Tom Baudet, and we'll leave the light on for you. And Accor Hotel.
French President Jacques Chirac is promising changes to his nation's health system after excessive heat this summer led to thousands of deaths, and regular temperatures of more than 104 degrees caused panic throughout France. More from correspondent Suzanne Chislett.
The latest estimates are that as many as 10,000 people died from the heat wave. Returning from his three-week summer vacation, President Chirac wasted no time in making a national televised address to tell the people of France everything possible would be done to correct the insufficiencies in the health system. Most government ministers were out of the country as the heat wave raged, and the cabinet's been severely criticized for doing too little too late in response. All those involved have now been asked to provide detailed accounts of what went wrong, and extra money has been pledged for improvements. Suzanne Chislett, London.
And the U.S. death toll from West Nile virus this year is now at 14. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention says human cases of the mosquito-borne disease have been reported in 21 states. I'm Corey Morris, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. On her way to Oz, Dorothy feared lions and tigers and bears. Oh, no! But they're child's play compared to critters who might homestead in your car. Oh, yes! When I come back, I'll name names. Want to know the secret to finding a shop that can keep your car running like new? Find the cleanest shop in town, where cleaning is top priority. Not talking about clean floors, but better shops have those, too. I mean shops that have the best training, equipment, and chemistry to clean every air, fuel, and fluid system in your vehicle. Keep it clean, and you don't have to keep replacing parts. Find your clean shop at bgfindashop.com. That's bgfindashop.com. You think Noah had it rough managing all those beasts? At least he had an ark, but some of them might hole up in your car. According to Pennzoil's survey of 16,000 auto technicians, culprits for some repairs were furry, feathery, or scaly, like chickens trapped in air filters, squirrel nests in the AC, snakes wrapped around brake rotors, and rats storing dog food in exhaust pipes. But wait, don't call the Pied Piper. Have your vehicle checked out regularly by a qualified technician. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
For a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, this is the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman. To talk with Tom Hartman, call 1-800-TALK-YES. Here's Tom.
And welcome back, friends. Broadcasting live on the IE America Radio Network on terrestrial radio stations from coast to coast. Broadcasting live from the depths of outer space on the Sirius Radio satellite system, and also streaming audio on the internet from live365radiopower.org, ieamericaradio.com, with archives at whiterosesociety.org. This is Tom Hartman. We are this hour. I am so pleased. What? How do conservatives distort the truth? Is the question I want to lay out. And I want to set this up with one just little short piece here. Henry A. Wallace was the vice president during the third term of Franklin Roosevelt's presidency. And in 1944, the war was raging in Europe and in Asia, and Henry Wallace was asked by the New York Times to write an article or answer some questions about fascists in the United States. And I just want to read one little excerpt from this. He said, this was published on April 9th, 1944, in the New York Times, and I found this, by the way, on truthout.org. You can find it there. I think it's off their homepage today. He said, The American fascists are most easily recognized by their deliberate perversion of truth and fact. Their newspapers and propaganda carefully cultivate every fissure of disunity, every crack in the common front against fascism. They cultivate hate and distrust. They claim to be super patriots, but they would destroy every liberty guaranteed by the Constitution. They demand free enterprise, but are the spokesmen of monopoly invested interests. Their final objective, toward which all of their deceit is directed, is to capture political power, so that using the power of the state and the power of the market simultaneously, they may keep the common man in eternal subjection. End quote. The Vice President of the United States, Henry A. Wallace. I'm very pleased to have with us today one of the men who has done an extraordinary job of chronicling what the right wing is doing in the exact agenda that Henry A. Wallace just identified. Joe Connison, Joe's most recent book, The Right Wing Propaganda Machine and How It Distorts the Truth. The title is Big Lies. Joe Connison is the national correspondent for the New York Observer and writes a daily online journal for Salon. With Gene Lyons, he's the best-selling author of The Hunting of the President, the 10-year campaign to destroy Bill and Hillary Clinton, which I highly recommend, by the way. It's amazing writing. His writing and reporting have appeared in many publications, including Harper's, The Guardian, The Nation, and The New Republic. He also appears frequently as a commentator on television and radio. Joe, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Thank you for having me, Tom.
I am so pleased. I am so honored to have you on this program. Just a bit of recent history here. I understand that you did your homework on Joe McCarthy and the I don't quite know the word. Maybe you can supply it for the stuff that's in Ann Coulter's book. And you were scheduled to debate her on CNBC, and she no-showed.
That's exactly what happened, Tom. I wrote a review of Treason by Ann Coulter, which is one of which fits very neatly into the description you gave, quoting Henry Wallace, of crypto-fascist propaganda.
Yeah.
And in my review, I raised some things about McCarthy that she, of course, leaves out of the book, the most important being an incident called the Malmedy Massacre, which is when a bunch of Nazis massacred American prisoners, including officers, in World War II during the Battle of the Bulge, and were then arrested for those war crimes. And McCarthy came to the defense of the Nazis. This is before he became famous for his communist hunting. And Coulter leaves that out because, of course, it's hard to imagine anything more treasonous by her description than to defend Nazi war criminals who had murdered American soldiers. McCarthy was in his rights to do that, and he was defeated in that particular crusade. But so I go through this in my review of her book, and I have to say I think it was a pretty devastating review. Flash forward now to Wednesday night, when I was supposed to appear with her on a show called Kudlow and Kramer on CNBC, the cable channel. And the lineup was going to be her and Kudlow, who's a conservative, against me. We had changed the night that we were doing this. It was originally going to be Thursday night. We changed it to Wednesday to accommodate Ann's schedule. I changed it, Kudlow changed it, and we all wanted to do this. And at the last minute, she didn't show up. So they had to bring in Tony Blankley, who's the editor of the Mooney paper editorial page, instead.
Right.
And you know, when I asked the producers at CNBC what happened, they said, "Oh, well, she had a meeting with an agent." Now, there's no agent in America who insists that a client come, you know, skip a national TV appearance in order to have a meeting.
No, in fact,
you'd have the meeting
the
next day. Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I haven't heard a good explanation for that. The Daily News, the New York Daily News, which wrote about this first, sent Ann an email asking her what had happened. She didn't respond to that. So everybody has to draw their own conclusions about what happened, but I think she doesn't want to. I think she's afraid of confronting somebody who knows how to bring facts to bear against her falsehoods.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that I've noticed on the faux news channel and on several of the others, these, you know, like Kudlow and Kramer and some of these other programs that are basically being sponsored by the right, is that when they bring on, quote, lefties, end quote, they don't often bring on people who are really articulate and who have their arguments well organized. They bring on the weakest they can find. And
certainly that's what they do on Fox News.
Yeah.
And, you know, I will tell you that this week, as I've been doing cable show after cable show, I'll be on Hardball again tonight for the second time this week with Chris Matthews, and I will be on every cable program that there is before this book tour is over. Fox has not let me on a single program.
It's like a boycott Joe Connison.
Yeah, they don't want to talk about Big Lies on Fox.
Right.
And it's interesting because my publicist, at the beginning of this, I said to him, you know, Joe, his name's Joe also, I said, Joe, I don't want to do that much Fox TV because, you know, I don't like them and I don't know that their viewers are going to buy my books. But he said, no, you got to go on Fox. So I said, okay, any Fox show you can get me on, I'll go on. Well, first O'Reilly said no, and since then, not one single Fox show has booked me.
O'Reilly's so, afraid of you, too.
Well, I don't know. You know, I don't want to say afraid. That sounds kind of blustery. But, you know, they don't want to confront these facts. They don't want to confront the truth. O'Reilly might be mad because I left him out of my book. Franken deals with O'Reilly. I didn't bother with O'Reilly in my book.
Well, I don't think he's going to have Franken on either.
Oh, no, he won't have Franken on.
Yeah. We had Jane Aker on as a guest on the program, mm-hmm. who is she and her husband, Steve Wilson, were the journalists who were fired from Fox for
right.
refusing to lie in a newscast.
That's right.
And then Fox took it to court, and ultimately Fox won and called it a vindication.
Well, they got out of it on a technicality, basically.
Yeah, yeah. That had to do with the FCC rules, but that they were vindicated in that the appeals court said that they had the legal right to lie in the news. In this piece that I read in your journal, Joe Connison's journal, this blog, I guess, that you write, you mentioned that you didn't really mention any of the really embarrassing material available about Ailes and his master, Murdoch. I confess I've only read the first three chapters of your book. I've only had it for a couple of days here. And is that in your book, or is that...
The embarrassing material?
Yeah.
Well, you know, what I was alluding to there are two things that I didn't put in the book just because of space and various reasons. One is, of course, that Ailes was a Republican operative for many years. He's
right.
been a TV producer on and off, but he'd been a Republican operative. He helped to elect George Herbert Walker Bush in 1988. And at the time, I wrote a piece for the New, or shortly after that, I wrote a piece for the New Republic, an investigative story about the Willie Horton commercial, which your listeners may or may not recall. It was a race-baiting commercial that was used to support Bush against Michael Dukakis. It was about a prisoner who had been released on a furlough in Massachusetts and killed, raped, and, you know, he was a terrible guy, did terrible crimes. He happened to be a very scary-looking black man. You know, it's scary to you if you're white and you think black people are all criminals. So they made a very inflammatory ad. It was denounced as the most obnoxious piece of racial advertising in many, many years on television. And Ailes, I investigated the involvement of the Bush campaign with this ad, which supposedly was done by an independent committee. And I found connections between Ailes and the people who put that ad together, even though it was officially denounced by the Bush campaign.
Surprise, surprise.
Yeah, surprise, surprise. So Roger was very upset about that, and he threatened to sue people, and he said he was leaving politics over this issue and so forth. So I didn't put that in this book. I mean, it's sort of old news, and I just didn't have room. The embarrassing facts about Murdoch, there are many of them that have to do with his political contributions and pressure on office holders to do things that benefit his business, his third marriage now to a woman who's about... I don't know, she must be 30 or 40 years younger than he is, and she's suspected of being some kind of agent for Chinese interests. There's a lot about Rupert Murdoch that doesn't get out in the press. And so I was kind of teasing about that I hadn't told all about Roger and Rupert. But there's a fair amount about the right-wing media in general, in Big Lies.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to address it on an issue basis, really.
Yeah. One of the things that I found really interesting was your assertion that Fox News has only recently actually started making money and that the Mooney newspaper, the Washington Times, which I understand is the only newspaper that George W. Bush will read, has never made money.
God, I'd like to think he reads some newspaper.
Well,
the Mooney paper has not only not made money, Tom, it has lost hundreds of millions of dollars. literally. Yeah. Hundreds of millions of dollars over the years. It's been in business for more than 20 years now, and it has. Reverend Moon has spent hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars. It has to be, you know, over $300 million and perhaps more. The New York Post doesn't make money. It hasn't made money for many years. The reactionary paper in New York doesn't make money.
Paper.
Rupert Murdoch uses News Corp's profits to finance the New York Post, and the stockholders let him get away with this because it gives them political power. It gives his company power. It gives him power.
Yeah, Joe, I have to ask you to pause right there for just a second. We've got a break coming up here, and I just want to remind our listeners, this is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. We're talking with Joe Connison, who's the author of Big Lies, The Right-Wing Propaganda Machine and How It Distorts the Truth, and also the co-author of The Hunting of the President. Stay tuned. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better. He's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
When the gas light comes on in your car, do you tap it to try to turn it off? When you get a flat tire, do you drive around hoping it will reinflate? No. But right now, you could be ignoring a battery problem, which is why there's Die Hard Express, only at Sears Auto Center. Die Hard Express is more than a battery service. It's a complete checkup for your car's electrical system. Our experts will look for common problems, and if it's the battery, we'll install a new Die Hard, America's most preferred battery.
Die Hard Express. Sears. Good life, great price. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Ideas. I'm often asked where I get the ideas for my commentaries. A few ooze out of my own feeble brain, but to paraphrase the old crooner Perry Como, I get stacks and stacks of ideas from you good folks. Some are serious, some semi-serious, and some just plain fun to think about. In the fun category is one emailed by Rose Marie, who had heard my piece about corporate tax scammers that reincorporate in Bermuda to dodge paying their U.S. taxes. I had suggested that the CEOs of these outfits should always have to wear Bermuda shorts so we could know who they are. Rose Marie, however, felt this didn't go far enough. Rather, she writes, we should make this slime wear the Bermuda shorts on their head. Mr. W. Bain is more serious. A World War II veteran from California, he writes that he's sick of hearing politicians talk about supporting our troops in war, then turning their backs on the troops after they come home. So, to provide a measure of financial fairness to those who are putting their lives on the line in Iraq, he wants all of them to be awarded shares of stock in Halliburton, Bechtel, and the other Pentagon contractors and oil companies that are making a financial killing there. Another productive idea comes via email from Nora, who thinks that George W.'s multi-billion-dollar tax giveaway to the super-rich is stupid. While the Millionaires Club will average nearly $100,000 each from the Bush boondoggle, most families are being tossed only $400 as a sort of hush puppy. Rather than pocket this pathetic political bribe, Nora suggests that we send the money to our favorite presidential candidate, so Bush pays for his own usurpation. Then there's Bob, who says that Bush's bizarre babblings about weapons of mass destruction are clear evidence that he should be declared formally insane and removed from office. Check Bob's website at madgeorge.us. This is Jim Hightower saying, thanks for the ideas. Keep them coming.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Back. It's Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Louise just dropped in and said to remind folks, or to let you know, that a week from today we're going to have Jim Hightower on the show. There was just an ad for his book that was planned. I'm pretty sure that was one of the network spots, so everybody heard it all across the country. And right now we're talking with Joe Connison, the author of Big Lies, the Right-Wing Propaganda Machine and How It Distorts the Truth. Joe, I've got a whole bunch of things here, questions that I'd like to get in with you about the Federalist Society, the Heritage Foundation, American Enterprise Institute. Where did conservatives get the idea of the liberal elite? Why is it that conservatives always are putting liberal spin on things? But before we get to that, we've got a caller. Jim has called 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937, which anybody can call if you have a question for Joe Connison. He's driving through Missouri. Jim, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
Well, good morning. How are you, sir?
I am great, but I'll get better. How about you, Jim?
Wonderful. Red Hunting for the Clintons, a wonderful book. A lot of good stuff in there. Number one, I'd like to see you and Greg Palast and David Brooks get together and expose this crowd for what they really are and tell it to the people with no punches pulled. I'd love to see that. But these neocons have gotten into every facet of our life like roaches. You know, where there's one, there's a thousand. And they're into everything from education to the way we vote, our voting machines, the military, defense. What are we going to do in this next election to neutralize this crowd? And it's gotten me very concerned. And I'll just hang up and listen to your explanation. I appreciate you. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim. Joe?
Well, you know, there's really one old-fashioned solution to this problem. It's called democracy. People have to vote and participate and organize. What's different now is that there are new forms of organization, particularly on the Internet. I think there's a group called MoveOn.org that's done a fantastic job of organizing people around the country, putting their money behind campaigns that challenge this administration. They are organizing people. I think it'll end up being hundreds of thousands of people to work in political campaigns next year, including the presidential race. And, you know, obviously there are many other organizations that do this, civic groups and unions and all the rest. So, for people like Jim who are worried, and there are a lot of them who write to me, I always have the same answer. It's you need to be active. You got to get out there. You have to find people who feel the way you do in your community and carry the fight. And even if you're in a state like Missouri, well, Missouri is actually a battleground state. I mean, that's a state that can go either way in almost any election.
Yeah.
But even if you're in a state that seems like what they call a red state, where you don't think you have a chance, the truth is every vote matters, every organizing effort matters, because there's always making Republicans defend the turf that they already hold is just as important as defeating them in another state.
Yeah.
Their plan, this is what they're doing in California right now from the other side. They are using the recall and trying to create a situation in California where the Democrats will have to defend California, even though they know they're going to win it. They want to create a situation there where they can't sort of take it for granted. And this is what people have to do on the progressive side.
Yeah, we need to some extent employ their tactics, but
you
mostly
can't give
out
up.
Them.
You can't give up anywhere. You can't
and,
give up
and,
anywhere.
And defy them. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they are absolutely about rolling back democracy, whether it was the 2000 election, whether it's the redistricting in Texas and Colorado, whether it's the California recall, all these things right across the board. We're talking
I think they're overconfident, too. I mean, I think they're very overconfident.
And hopefully pride goeth before the fall,
well,
Joe.
Well, they're
Joe,
looking at their poll numbers now, and I think they're starting to get a little worried because they're seeing that the president's numbers down where they were before 9/11, and that's got
there. You go, Joe. That music means we got a break here. We'll have a little longer to talk after we come back from this break. Stick around, please. Joe Connison with Tom Hartman. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements? And what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Author gives a first-person account of efforts to interfere with commercial whaling. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. It's an Antarctic game of cat and mouse. Greenpeace activists hide in boats behind icebergs as Japanese whaling ships approach. Their aim is to harass the whalers, disrupting their hunting efforts for the day. Kieran Mulvaney has been on many of these excursions, and he's written a new book about it called The Whaling Season. Mulvaney says the Greenpeace actions, which began in the 1970s, have two goals.
The first is really just to try and interfere with the whaling operations, to make it as difficult as possible for the whalers to kill whales, to harass them for long enough and well enough that they end up killing fewer whales than they otherwise would. And on the other level, to document those actions and use the actions as a way to continually remind people that this whaling is going on, that it hasn't gone away, that pressure needs to be maintained to bring it to an end.
Mulvaney's book describes the huge factory ships, swift hunting vessels, and high technology that the whalers use to chase their prey, which they shoot with explosive harpoons. The whalers are technically within their rights to hunt under International Whaling Commission rules, but Mulvaney says the need to protect the animals and alert the public justifies nonviolent interference.
I'm angry at what our species has done to these other species over the last 200 years or so, and I'm angry that it's still continuing. I'm angry that these people lie repeatedly about their purposes, about their goals, about how many whales there are, about what happens down in the Antarctic, and I just don't think that they should be allowed to get away with it, and we're going to do whatever we can in a peaceful way to bring this whaling to a halt.
Mulvaney says most whale species are in serious trouble, and the animals face a growing list of environmental threats. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
the Tom Hartman radio program, where democracy is still alive and well. We're talking with Joe Connison. Joe, the old Nazi propaganda tactic of scapegoating is so conspicuous to me. The other day I went onto the Internet. I was thinking about doing this as a piece for Common Dreams, and it just got out of control when I got into it. I went on the Internet and I downloaded Mein Kampf. And then I dropped it into Microsoft Word. I did a global search and replace, and replaced the word Jew with the word liberal throughout Mein Kampf, and then sat down to read it. And it was absolutely spooky. I mean, it was like reading some of these screeds. I don't want to mention any particular blonde authors, but it was downright spooky. Is this sort of thing propagating right across the board, or are there just a few right-wing cranks out there who are doing most of this?
I think in different styles and at different levels of intensity, this is a tactic that is very widespread on the right, particularly the discussion of what they like to call treason, which is the title of that blonde's book, The One Who Won't Go on TV with Me. And I think that is one of the issues that the Democrats and liberals and progressives need to fight back hardest against. You know, in Big Lies, I have a chapter called Male Cheerleaders and Chicken Hawks, and it's about who really served in our military, who's really served our country, and who are the traitors and who aren't. And, you know, it's interesting. There's a whole wing of Republicans and conservatives who call themselves neo-Confederates. These are people who still worship the old Confederacy, and which was a conspiracy of treason against the United States. So at the same time, those people will turn around and say, oh, the Democrats are treasonous because they don't agree with Bush about Iraq, or they won't lie down for Bush's energy plan. Well, I'm sorry. I went through the service records of every member of Congress and the Senate, and the Democrats have at least as good a record of service to this country as the Republicans do. More of them are decorated, in fact. And, you know, for someone like Tom DeLay or Trent Lott, who never wore this country's uniform for one day, to denigrate giving aid and comfort to the enemy, someone like Max Cleland, who lost three limbs in Vietnam, or John Kerry, who took two slugs over there, or Pete Peterson, who was a Medal of Honor winner, is insane. And Democrats really need to say that loudly and get in their face about that, because that's intolerable.
It is time to stand up and say, we're not going to take this anymore. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937. If you got a question for Joe Connison, the author of Big Lies. Joe, before I take this first call, I've got David in Oakland here, but before I take that call, give us your website.
Well, I'm on Salon.com every day, or every weekday, except during my book tour when I haven't written every day. But generally, I write a journal on Salon.com, Joe Connison's journal, every day.
Right. Yeah, okay, great. People can find that.
I write a weekly column for the New York Observer, which is a weekly newspaper here that's also available online at www.observer.com.
Okay.
And then you shouldn't forget to buy my book, Big Lies.
Yeah,
that's 40,000 words. It'll take them a while to get through it.
There you go. Big Lies by Joe Connison in bookstores nationwide. David in Oakland, California is on the line. David, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Good. What's up, David?
Well, my question is, how are we really going to be able to break through this media kind of propaganda dominance that the right wing has now in this country? We had an interesting experience recently. We disconnected our TV cable service and just decided to stop watching TV. This was just before the Gulf War. And after the war had gone for a while, I went out and bought rabbit ears and sort of tuned back in to the mainstream TV channels. And I was just shocked at the story that was presented. And it really was an awakening to me in terms of people getting fed this propaganda day in and day out. Not so much whether it's truth or fiction that they're discussing, but the way they frame issues, sort of the limited way that they discuss, you know, what is being discussed, sort of like, you know, presenting a lot of things about Saddam Hussein's torture chambers and the repressiveness of the regime, but leaving out all the issues related to past American support for the regime. So,
right, or like, other regimes that have torture chambers.
Exactly.
David, I would say before Joe answers that, I just want to put in a quick and brief plug. We have had radio stations actually drop the Rush Limbaugh show to pick up this program. We're on radio stations from coast to coast.
Terrific.
And there are stations that are looking for alternative programming, some because they just want balance, some because they realize that right-wing radio has become saturated, some because they're getting such backlash. There's so many people who are saying, you know, hey, you know, we're over it with this, and some because they want to compete with the local station in town that carries Rush, that if you've got a station in your area and if you happen to be listening on the internet rather than on a terrestrial broadcast station or on Sirius satellite, and you'd like to be on a local station, call your local stations and let them know about us. Now, having said that, Joe, what are your thoughts about that? What's your response to David? What suggestions do you have?
Well, I think IE America Radio and, you know, other radio projects that are in the works now, and Salon and a lot of what's going on the internet are the beginnings of a sort of stirring of the American people to reform the media. And to bring it back to the center and to some notion of fairness and balance, that's real fairness and balance, not Fox fair and balance. I think activism, again, is the key. I think people demanding the truth is what has finally forced the mainstream media to look more carefully at what was going on with the lead-up to the Iraqi war. The reason we have those stories on the front pages and they started to get some coverage on the news was that it was being exposed first in the foreign media, particularly in Britain, and that was seeping into the American consciousness through the internet, through radio, and, you know, a few places. And that's what people need to do. They need to become media activists and political activists.
Yeah, BBC was actually setting up mirror servers in North America to handle the demand.
Yes. Well, people want the truth, Tom.
Yeah, it's extraordinary, and they will get it. It's funny. I remember many years ago, back in 1981, Dick Gregory and I went over to Africa. We were putting together a hospital there in Uganda, and we were on this long overnight flight over the Atlantic, and we had each other all worked up into this rant about the Vietnam War, and he says, you know what I don't understand? What I don't understand is why people, Americans, think we need to run all around the world shoving our way of life down people's throats with the barrel of a gun. He says, when you've got something good, you don't have to force it on people. They will steal it. And that's what's happening. People are stealing the truth on radio and on the internet all across the world. I mean, we had yesterday in our chat room here, we've got a live chat room running at the same time that we're on the air. We had a guy in Taiwan who said he heard about us from somebody in Japan. I got an email from somebody in Norway yesterday. They're all listening to the program and other programs like this, and they're reading Common Dreams and Alternet and all the, you know, all the great sites out there. So yeah, it's happening. Billy in California has called 1-800-TALK-YES. If you'd like to call for Joe Connison, 1-800-825-5937. Billy, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Thanks, guys. Joe, did I actually see you on with that skinny witch somewhere recently? Were you really successful taking her on? Or is she just...
I haven't been on with her for a while.
Excuse me?
I have not been on with... If it's who I think you're talking about,
I
haven't been on with her for a while.
Well, I actually saw someone who was really good with her. I don't see why it's so hard to take her on, frankly.
It isn't.
She's patently ridiculous.
It isn't hard. I did it all during Clinton. I mean, you know, I was on TV with her quite a bit, and my opinion was that I got the better of it most of the time. But, no, there's nothing frightening about her. She's loud.
Yeah, she's loud. She doesn't let you get in. And she's a big liar.
Yeah, she makes stuff up all the time, and she's very rude. But
let me ask you this.
Toss a pail of water on her, you know what I mean?
Let me ask you this. This is my most recent theme. The one thing I can't find on the radio or on television, anywhere in the media, and we talked about this yesterday, and I want to get your take on it, is I can't find the voice of the atheist in this country, and I think it's what's most needed. I think the biggest problem we have is the Christian majority continuing to push at us, and at the same time, this majority is the shut-up-and-get-in-line majority who don't understand that what makes America great is, in fact, the ability to have dissent.
Well, I'll tell you, I certainly agree that among the freedoms that need to be protected in this country is not only freedom of religion, but the freedom not to believe. And I think that's a...
Am I unaware of the atheist voice, or is,
well,
in fact, I correct that
well,
we
there
are
was,
being
there,
frozen
you know,
out?
There was an atheist organization, and it fell into We fell into trouble because the family that was kind of in charge of it, the O'Hare family, had a lot of problems.
Madeline Murray O'Hare.
Yes. Yeah, she and her son, and I mean, I'm not going to go into it, but they had tremendous personal problems, and so that organization kind of went by the boards. The organizations that, the most effective organization right now is called Americans United for the Separation of Church and State. And that is not a, it's not an atheist organization, but it's an organization that certainly defends the right not to believe. It's composed of believers and non-believers alike. In fact, it's headed by a reverend named Barry Lynn, who's not the type of intolerant Christian that the caller is referring to, but a progressive Christian who...
Yeah, yesterday Jerry Falwell was calling him a phony on Crossfire.
Well, because...
Shouting at him.
Well, because Jerry Falwell thinks he's the only Christian that there is.
That's right.
You know, when he goes to his reward, he's going to find out differently, in my opinion. But I think that kind of organization that unites people of all faiths or non-faith who believe in the real meaning of the First Amendment is what will defend everybody's rights most effectively.
Yeah, I agree. And thank you for that call and for that comment, Billy. It's an important point, and I appreciate you bringing it up repeatedly here. Joe, conservatives, I mean, the father of modern conservative thinking, arguably, is Edmund Burke, who flatly stated the people of noble birth should rule and the people should know their places. Where did conservatives get this idea of the liberal elite?
Well, you know, that is a piece of it's a, like many pieces of mythology, it has a core of truth, which is that throughout history, as I discuss in Big Lies, there have always been people who of wealth, of aristocratic background and so forth, who took the side of the people against the aristocracy, going all the way back to ancient Rome. The three brothers, known as the Gracchi, took the part of the plebeians against the aristocrats. And you saw that, you can see that in the Roosevelt family, in the Kennedy family, you know, Jefferson and Madison and others of our founding fathers were people of wealth and an elite background who took the side of the people against monarchy. This is a great tradition in human history, but it offends the conservatives because they think anybody who has had privilege or wealth should automatically be wanting to defend that against the claims of the people, and they get particularly bent out of shape about this. Now, you come to the present and you see people in Hollywood, members of the Kennedy family and other families of a wealthy background who take very decided position in favor of democracy and progressive ideas. It drives the conservatives nuts. And so they attack back with their own form of the class envy argument, which is the liberal elite, the limousine liberal. And what I contrast that to in my book is what I call the corporate jet conservative.
Yeah, I love that phrase.
Sort of big-time crooks like Enron and Tyco and the rest of them who are, you know, putting their money in Cayman Islands bank accounts, escaping taxation in the policy of the United States for their own profit and getting away with it. And meanwhile, the conservatives like Rush Limbaugh are screaming about, well, there's a liberal, he's going to Hollywood, as if that affected anybody. It's a sham.
Yeah. Yeah, Joe, the David Brock in Blinded by the Right mentioned that many neocons were ignorant of their philosophical forebearers. They just hung on to this kind of recent myth that conservatism is, quote, less government, and which explains the confusion of neocon columnists like Andrew Sullivan when John Ashcroft and the Bush administration impose more authoritarian controls over people. What do you think accounts for this inconsistency in the conservative movement, this kind of almost like a Larry Curly Moe bumbling around, banging into each other?
It's because the conservative movement is actually very broad ideologically. It ranges from atheist libertarians on one end who believe they're almost anarchists. They practically believe in no government. They're against restrictions on homosexuality or even drug use, all the way over to the religious right, the Jerry Falwell types, who are very authoritarian, almost totalitarian in their view of what government should control in the name of the church or of God. And so this leads to a tremendous cognitive dissonance among conservatives who can't figure out whether they're for more government or less government, and what should the government do, and what should the government regulate, and should it be regulating our morality but not the electric rates? They're confused, many of them. And in the Republican Party kind of encompasses all of these people, and it's not surprising that when there is a real threat to liberty, like John Ashcroft, it's very hard to find conservatives who understand enough of our history and enough of what's really important in defense of freedom to stand up against that. There are a few who have. There's a chapter in my book called Why Dick Armey Joined the ACLU, the American Civil Liberties Union, and it's because Dick Armey, a very conservative Republican, former congressman from Texas, looked at what Ashcroft is doing to the Bill of Rights and said, hey, look, that's not what we believe in.
Yeah, yeah. The same with, what's his name from Georgia?
Bob Barr.
Yeah, I actually sat in a bar with Bob Barr a couple of years ago when I lived in Atlanta, maybe 10 years ago. I thought he was a fairly smart guy. He kind of scared me. He seemed like a little to the right of Mussolini, but he seemed like a fairly smart guy.
But he's not. He's bright. Yeah, he's bright. And I think there are conservatives who have principles. I say in the introduction to Big Lies, I'm not going to say that every conservative or Republican is guilty of this kind of propaganda. There are smart, thoughtful conservatives who really believe what they're saying, but unfortunately, many of them have been tempted by power, and they know that the way to get power is to demonize liberals, because this is fundamentally a liberal, fair-minded country.
Yeah, great. Joe Connison. Joe, thank you very much for being with us. Big Lies is Joe's book, The Right-Wing Propaganda Machine and How It Distorts the Truth, available in bookstores all across the United States. Go out and buy it right now. It'll be a great read. Joe, thank you again for joining us today. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network.
To create a real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation. But how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
Nice drive, Jim.
Ah, thanks. You know, I wish my business plan was as straight. We just can't grow anymore with our current facility. I've looked at the price to build, but I'm afraid to spend the money.
Jim, I've known you since you've started your business. You succeeded because you made tough decisions and took risks.
Well...
Look, I had the same problem, but I called General Steel Corporation. The general helped me build my new office and warehouse, and I stayed within my budget. I couldn't believe the time and money I saved compared to traditional construction.
That's a steel building?
It sure is, but with the stucco and rock products provided by the general, you just can't tell. They engineered the building for this area and to fit my needs. When the economy rebounds, I'll be ready to gain market share.
Save time and money with a General Steel building. Call toll free 1-866-96-STEEL. Whether you need a 40 by 60 for under $13,000 or a 60 by 200 for under $49,000, call 1-866-96-STEEL. If you need space, you need the general. Call 1-866-96-STEEL today.
Now, everything you need for successful estate planning comes in one package. The new Master Estate Kit is a collection of legal power that would cost you $500 or more if prepared by a lawyer. Here's what you'll get. First, a legal will kit, one praised by nearly 500,000 buyers. Second, a living will kit that assures your wishes will be followed in case of an irreversible injury or illness. And third, a power of attorney kit that includes all the required forms. Order today and we'll include the new Family Legal Guide. It answers all your questions about small claims court, landlord agreements, personal bankruptcy, and much more. An $80 value, the complete Master Estate Kit costs only $39.95. For immediate delivery of the Master Estate Kit and your free Family Legal Guide, call 1-800-221-0393. Pay only $39.95 plus shipping. Every kit carries an unlimited money-back guarantee. Call 1-800-221-0393 now. That's 1-800-221-0393.
I have this representative sampling from yesterday addressed to Dudley Do-Right.
Yes, sir, Inspector!
You must be a miserable person. You think everybody is out to screw you. You don't like the Republicans, George W., government authority, police, fire, CIA, FBI, NSA, phone companies, airlines, successful people. The list goes on and on and on and on and on.
On the IE America Radio Network.
You've got your green alligators and long-necked geese, humpty-back camels and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but sure as you're born, don't you forget that unicorn.
Sunday nights, please, please listen to our show, because if you don't, Mark will not stop singing. Animal Talk, Sunday nights, on the IE America Radio Network.
The Mike Molloy Show.
Joining us now is Jason Campbell with the Christian Action Network.
Well, since 1991, the gay movement has gone down to Disney to do these gay days. You've had events where you've had Mickey Mouse with Goofy in sexual positions.
Ah! Homosexual movies are shown on the Disney transportation systems. And what kind of movies, for God's sake, do they show on these buses?
Triple X.
Oh, you're kidding.
If a child's riding beside one of the buses and looks up and says, Daddy, what is that on the television monitor?
Right.
It's going to be an embarrassing moment.
Oh, it'll be worse than embarrassing. The child will be scarred for life.
Right. That's what the homosexuals want.
Well, I know. They're after the kid. Now, the only thing I'm afraid of is somebody just tuned in the program and never heard the program before and just went, oh, Jesus, this guy is really a right-wing freak.
The Mike Molloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
And the beat goes on. Drums keep pounding a rhythm to the brain.
And welcome back. It's Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. This is the Democracy Zone. The Tom Hartman Program, where democracy is still alive and well, and 1-800 is our number, 1-800-TALK, yes, is our number, 1-800-825-5937, and a little too much coffee here. John in Long Beach has a comment. John, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
Hey, Tom. Yeah, this is John, the atheist, calling again. I want to let you know one of the things that your guest said.
Mm-hmm.
He said atheist libertarianism, libertarians.
Well, what he was talking about was the whole Ayn Rand libertarian objectivist thing.
But the thing is that I belong to an atheist organization, and while there are some of the members that are libertarians, the majority are not. The majority tend to be liberal.
Yeah, I'm sure that's true. Although the majority of the libertarians tend to be, I'm not even sure that they're all atheists, because a lot of them are right-wing religious guys.
That's true.
Yeah.
They come, and also a libertarian is kind of like the Christian religion in this respect, that your the interpretation of what a libertarian is varies from person to person.
Well, John, you have raised the perfect segue into our next hour, because in our next hour we're going to have Mike Huben on, and we're going to be asking, who are the objectivists and the libertarians, and how have they changed the American conservative movement? We're going to get into this whole thing about who are these people, where did they come from, what's their philosophical basis, and how can you successfully argue with them?
Well, you can't.
Well, you can.
I've argued with some of them that are so far right, I accused them of being apologists for the Bush facts. Criminals, and they deny it, but at the same time, they still are in favor of about everything he does.
Yeah, well, we're gonna have a guy on here this afternoon who is the anti-objectivist, who's the expert on these things. He'll be coming up in about 7 minutes.
Oh, good.
And then on Monday, I think we're gonna have an objectivist on, so we'll try out our new skills.
All righty, thanks a lot.
See ya. We'll see how it works. John, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. Extraordinary. The Joe Connison and his book Big Lies, what's her name, Ann Coulter, refused to go on the air with him because he had I encourage you to check out Joe Connison's work. He is absolutely brilliant. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Thanks for joining us so far on this hour, in these 2 hours. If you're on a station that's carrying us into the third hour, we will be back. And if not, we'll be back on Monday. This is Tom Hartman. Stay tuned.
Been listening to the Tom Hartman program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Corey Morris. United Nations Secretary General Kofi Annan and Secretary of State Colin Powell are trying to develop a plan now to increase security in Iraq. That in the wake of this week's deadly bomb attack on the UN compound in Baghdad. Correspondent Nathan King has the latest from UN headquarters in New York.
U.S. Secretary of State Colin Powell at the UN for the first time since the bomb attack in Baghdad said it was a sad occasion, but one filled with determination. As well as working on the security situation, the Secretary of State said the U.S. is working on a new UN resolution that would call on member states to do more in Iraq. Some countries, like India, say they need such a resolution before committing troops to Iraq. However, for a resolution to pass at the Security Council, France, Russia, Germany, and many other countries may push for a larger role for the UN in post-Hussein Iraq, something the White House has been long resisting.
Nathan King, New York.
Meanwhile, there's speculation today the bombing of the headquarters in Baghdad this week might have been an inside job of sorts. The New York Times says investigators are checking allegations Iraqi security guards assigned to the compound helped the suicide bombers. 23 people were killed in that blast, including the UN's top man in Iraq. The Times says the guards were assigned to the facility by Saddam Hussein's government, and when he was ousted from power, the guards simply stayed on. Secretary General Kofi Annan isn't commenting on the report. President Bush got an earful from thousands of protesters yesterday while headed for a fundraiser at the University of Portland. Demonstrators waved signs and shouted, denouncing the president's economic and environmental policies as well as the U.S. occupation of Iraq. But the president defended his stance on his actions in the Middle East.
In Afghanistan and Iraq, we gave ultimatums to terror regimes. Those regimes chose defiance, and those regimes are no more.
Riot police kept the protesters away from the president and also guarded intersections in residential neighborhoods where his motorcade passed. Bush spoke at a $1 million fundraiser for his 2004 reelection campaign.
Okay, so I'm a teenager, right? And everyone's so quick to judge me. On the outside, I may look like... But on the inside, I'm all... Because I look like doesn't mean I act that way. In fact, I'm actually involved in crime prevention. That sounds more like this. It's really a great way to convince adults that while you may be looking, you're really thinking.
Call 1-800-722-TEENS to find out how to make your community a safer place for everyone. Get involved. Get the number and call. 1-800-722-TEENS. A public service message from the Crime Prevention Coalition of America, the U.S. Department of Justice, and the Ad Council.
Israel is promising more strikes on Palestinian militants, that threat following yesterday's deadly missile attack in the Gaza Strip. The co-founder of the militant group Hamas and two other people were killed in the attack by Israeli forces. A senior Israeli security official says that strike is just the beginning. He says there will be more attacks on what he called the terrorist infrastructure. Japan says it's uneasy about the prospects of a nuclear power on the Korean Peninsula, and for that reason, the Japanese Defense Ministry is asking for about $1 billion in the coming national budget. The money is intended to develop a missile defense system.
Oh, sweetie, your first day of school. Let me get pictures of you in front of the building.
Capture back-to-school memories at Radio Shack with a super-thin Casio XLMS3 digital camera, just $349.99 with 3.2 megapixels, 4x digital zoom, and a docking station.
Mom, come on, it's my senior year.
Smile!
Plus, save $75 when you buy a digital camera and a photo printer.
Mom!
At Radio Shack, $50 from HP and $25 from Radio Shack, back by mail when you purchase a digital camera over $149.99 and an HP photo printer. Offer ends A24.
Alabama State Supreme Court Justice Roy Moore says he will take his Ten Commandments case all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court if he has to. Moore is still refusing court orders to remove a Ten Commandments monument from the rotunda of the state judicial building. Moore contends the issue is not really about religion, but more about the government's policing people's thoughts.
We're in a situation in this country where judges are telling us what to think and who to believe in. And they simply can't do that.
Moore made his comments earlier on NBC's Today Show. The case revolves around the constitutional mandate, of course, separating church and state. And police in West Virginia have now released a sketch of a man who may be involved in a string of sniper shootings near Charleston recently. The sketch is of a white man with dark hair and a goatee. The information used to build the sketch came from witnesses to two of the three fatal sniper shootings that happened more than a week ago. Detectives, along with federal agents who worked in the Washington, D.C. sniper incidents last year, say the bullets used to kill three people in West Virginia were all fired from the same weapon. I'm Corey Morris, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Bayonets ready. Take aim and fire. No, you're not in a World War I time warp. You're changing your glove compartment bulb. When I come back, I'll tell you how to hit the bullseye. In today's world of discord and disappointment, one thing's for sure. Car cover owners are so satisfied, they buy their car covers all over again. Think car covers are a hassle? No. Research shows owners find covers easy to put on and take off. Are all covers the same? No. The standard in car cover fabric is Blockit by Kimberly-Clark. Don't let sun and dust damage your car. Kimberly-Clark's Blockit fabric's got you covered. That's Blockit by Kimberly-Clark. Don't get up in arms about burned-out glove compartment bulbs. You can relight the way in these easy steps. With protected hand, grab your bayonet bulb, that is. This little light is so called because of the protrusion at its base that receives electrical current. Now push in slightly and turn counterclockwise to remove. To install new bulb, line up bayonet with socket slot, ease in, and turn clockwise. Now relax. You've won the battle of the bulb without a single casualty. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
He's been written about in the Wall Street Journal, the New York Times, and Pravda. He spent time with the Pope and the Dalai Lama. And now you can talk with Tom Hartman simply by calling 1-800-TALK-YES. Here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome back. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, broadcasting live coast to coast, streaming on terrestrial radio stations, also streaming from the depths of outer space on the Sirius satellite radio system, and also broadcasting live on the internet from radiopower.org, live365.com, ieamericaradio.com, with archives at whiterosesociety.org. georgewbush.com is George Bush's new website. And they've got a really cool little tool on there where you can write letters to your elected representatives and to your local newspapers if you'd like to write something for your local publication about your opinions of George W. and his administration. Of course, they expect nobody but good Republicans to go on there and write these things. It'll be interesting to see how this gets used, or if they have some kind of, they end up with some kind of filter or something. Anyway. Our number is 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937. If you'd like to drop into our chat room for some of the most articulate, intelligent, thoughtful, and insightful conversation on the Internet, go to TomHartmanShow.com and follow the links to the chat room. Our question for this, our quote for this, for today, for this Friday, is, "A chain is no stronger than its weakest link," as said William James, and life is, after all, a chain. Our question for this hour, who are the objectivists or the libertarians, and how have they changed the conservative movement in the United States, or conservatism in the United States? This is a real issue, because the Cato Institute and a lot of the, and you know, Alan Greenspan claims to be an objectivist, and these guys are just devastating the social and, in many cases, the economic infrastructure of the United States based on a theology, on a cult-like belief system that most people don't even realize exists. And so in this hour, we have Mike Huben on. Mike runs a great website that I sort of stumbled across on the Internet. It's called the Critiques of Libertarianism site. The URL is http://world.std.com/tilde/mhuben/libindex.html. And I realize that's a mouthful, so I'll on our message boards here today, when I get off the air, I'll post this URL for you. Although I'm assuming, Mike, that there might be a shorter way to get to that, or perhaps you have a recommended phrase that people drop into Google to find your website?
Yes, it so happens that if you just type in libertarianism in Google, my website comes up first.
Oh, great. Well, that's easy. That's easy. That, you just saved me a lot of great libertarianism. So, Mike, welcome to the program, first of all.
Thank you.
Very
glad
that you came
on.
And let's start at the beginning. There was this woman. She changed her name to Ayn Rand. It was a pen name, which was the thing to do, I guess, among some folks back in the 40s and 50s. And what was her original name? I've forgotten now.
Oh, I've forgotten that, too.
Yeah, I was going to say Ruth Goldberg.
Oh, Rosenbaum or something like that.
Rosenbaum, yeah, okay. And she wrote this book. She wrote a series of books. The most famous is Atlas Shrugged, in which she identified this philosophy that has come to be called objectivism, and out of which has sprung the Libertarian Party and many of the philosophical underpinnings of what has become the modern conservative movement. How did this come about, Mike?
Well, essentially, she wasn't really the beginning.
Okay.
There are actually a lot of forebears to modern libertarianism. Conservatism, it's a very broad spectrum of ideas, and objectivism is one particular set of them. She was a popularizer of mm-hmm. ideas that go right back to Manchesterism and a bunch of other extremely conservative ideas in the classical liberal period.
Which was when?
And so essentially she wrote heroic fiction.
Yeah.
Where instead of, you know, having an ordinary hero, the heroes were mighty capitalists. And it's extraordinarily bad fiction. I mean,
I read Atlas Shrugged back when I was in high school.
Right, there's that wonderful 200-page speech.
Yes, I have to confess, actually, I read about half of it. And then I went back a few years ago and read the Cliff Notes version, which is actually fairly well-written.
Well, that's all it really needs, because the speech in the whole book is incredibly repetitious.
Yeah.
And so she wrote this book, and she had founded her own cult, essentially, about her own personal philosophy. And it's a typical kind of leader-oriented cult, complete with sexual hijinks and throwing out of people who dare to disagree with the leader and things like that, which is why there are two major groups of objectivists right now, because her second-in-command, Nathaniel Brandon, made the mistake of actually having an affair with somebody other than Ayn Rand, and she got enraged and threw him out. He started his own group.
So where did the Cato Institute come from? What how did supposed to be a libertarian think tank?
Yes, around the same time as Ayn Rand was getting popular, a whole bunch of other libertarian type people got together and founded the Libertarian Party. And after a while, the Libertarian Party had a schism because there were libertarians who were arguing about how best to be effective. And so a whole bunch of libertarians left the party and founded the Cato Institute, which is a typical think tank propaganda mill.
Interesting. So let's go through some of their arguments, and let me just toss these things out, and you can give me back the response. Libertarians are defenders of freedoms and rights.
Well, they're the defenders of the freedoms and rights that they care about, but not and for themselves, but not necessarily for anybody else. If you really want to defend freedoms and rights, then you join ACLU. Yeah, the American Civil Liberties Union, or
that liberal organization.
That's right, and you know there are several others. People United Against for Separation of Church and State. There are a zillion organizations that actually do something. The Libertarian Party.
Now, wouldn't the Libertarians? I mean, Mike, let's give them their due. Wouldn't the Libertarians say that the People United for Separation of Church and State are espousing a libertarian idea?
It's a liberal idea, not exclusively libertarian.
Liberal in the classic sense.
Libertarianism is a sort of far-edge variety of liberalism. It's, you know, sort of off-the-deep-end style of liberalism. And
by
you know, the early liberals came up with the idea of separation of church and state, and it's one of their most successful ideas ever. And libertarians, being generally opposed to states at all, have no problem with that idea.
Right. Okay, here's the next libertarian idea. Taxation is theft, and if you don't pay your taxes, men with guns will show up at your house, initiate force, and put you in jail.
Well, there's a lot of different answers to that. The first one is, what makes you so sure the money is yours in the first place?
I earned it!
You don't earn your money in isolation from the rest of the world. You earn your money in a country that's protected, for one thing. Okay, our national borders have to be protected so that your property is secure. Libertarians are very big on security of property, but they don't want to have to pay for it.
Yeah.
Well, some of them do, the minarchists. But the minarchists haven't found a good solution to the problem of taxation. And if you say, well, how are you going to defend your how should this minimal government defend your property if you can't tax them, if you can't be taxed, they'll say, I don't know.
Yeah. Okay, another libertarian argument. Social contract, I mean, what you're talking about here, Mike, we're speaking, by the way, with Mike Huben, who runs the non-libertarian FAQ, F-A-Q, and if you put libertarianism into Google, it'll come up as the top page. What you're describing essentially is what some people call the social contract, the idea that we live in a society, we have certain obligations to the society, that therefore taxation and other social obligations, participation, perhaps even a draft and those kinds of things, that particularly in times of crisis, are not just obligations, but they go even deeper than that, that they're what in the Japanese language would be called gyurin gimu. You know, they're these fundamental, foundational debts that we have to society that we must repay, even some would say even before we're born. And this all in aggregate is called the social contract. And the response of the libertarians is, social contract? I never signed no stinking social contract. I'm quoting from your website here. I never signed no stinking social contract. This social contract is like no others because it can be unilaterally modified. Those liberals in Congress can change the rules of the game anytime they want. What's your response?
Well, first, there is a written social contract. A lot of libertarians deny that there's one at all, and it's very simply our Constitution and laws. The whole idea that you have to sign a contract is actually extremely silly, as anybody who's ever bought software knows. you open any box of software, and there's something called a shrink wrap contract in it. Just by opening the box, you're agreeing. You never signed anything. Or if you go into a restaurant and you order a meal, you haven't signed anything. Should you just walk out? I don't think so. There's an implied consent. Now, in our country, the consent essentially boils down to remaining in the country. You're making use of the services.
Are you saying love it or leave it?
No. I'm saying that if you don't love it, you still get to choose whether or not you're staying.
Yeah. Well, the one that they throw back then is that this isn't always the case. I mean, for example, the Cubans don't get to choose Castro's social contract.
Well, the Cubans are restricted from emigrating. They can't leave Cuba. Or if they do, it's illegal. And that's why you have the people, you know, going through great pains trying to cross the 100-some miles between Cuba and the United States in boats they've stolen. They're not permitted to leave Cuba, whereas the United States permits people to leave. About 50,000 people a year emigrate from the United States, presumably because they find someplace better. Or that
right,
they like
or they
more.
Marry somebody or whatever. Although right now Canada seems to be the hot place to go to. I saw a special on TV a couple days ago about that. It's the new fashionable thing to do is to emigrate to Canada. Who would have thought?
Yeah, a lot of libertarians complain that it's hard to emigrate, but it's hard changing your job. It's hard doing a lot of things. That doesn't mean that they don't have a choice.
Yeah, so we're talking with Mike Cuban, and we're going through the list here of the libertarian worldview, which has so strongly infiltrated the conservative worldview in the United States. And you're going to have these arguments thrown at you, folks, helping you win the water cooler wars. Mike, stay tuned. It's a hand line here. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back. Helping you win the water cooler wars with uncommon sense from the radical middle. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
I have a question for the men out there. What do you think your odds are of developing prostate problems? 1 in 1,000? 1 in 300? Actually, my doctor told me they're 1 in 3. But you can help beat those odds with One-A-Day Men's Health Formula. One-A-Day Men's is a complete multivitamin with 21 nutrients plus lycopene, which Harvard studies have linked to prostate health. So now that you know your risk, help beat the odds. Take One-A-Day Men's Health, the multivitamin with more for your health.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune into tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
Xie xie is thank you in Mandarin Chinese.
Is it really? Mm-hmm.
Ban ji la is like cool.
Chinese lesson now.
Wow, Nancy, you're so smart.
Ban ji la.
You know everything. Xie xie. I should have watched MSNBC.
I want to be just like you. I figure all I need's a lobotomy and some tights.
On the IE America Radio Network.
I'm calling about the Mike Malloy program. You know, the reason I turned this man off.
Why?
Is because he sounds like an 8-year-old.
Me?
Name calling.
I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not.
You should get somebody who at least has some intelligence.
No, don't fire me. No. I got kids in college.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
If you want it, here it is. Come and get it. Make your mind up fast. If you want it anytime, I can give it. But you better hurry, cause it may not.
Are the objectivists, and how have they changed the American conservative movement? For that matter, the United States. We're talking with Mike Huban, who has a great website out there, the non-libertarian FAQ, frequently asked questions, and critiques of libertarianism site. If you put libertarianism, libertarianism, into Google, it pops right up at the top, a non-libertarian FAQ. And we're getting into this here, Mike, because this is the not to mention the fact that number one, these are many of the underpinnings of the modern quote so-called conservatives. Number two, there are several talk show hosts out there who are just openly, you know, this is what they. It's like it's become fashionable to be a libertarian, I knew a bunch of these folks back when I lived in Atlanta, and I thought, you know, I thought it was pretty cool. You know, they're saying, hey, you know, we should legalize drugs and all consensual activity between adults, and the government has no business sticking its nose in these things. And I'm going, yeah, that makes sense to me. I mean, and they had this bumper sticker, "Freedom works, vote libertarian," and I was like, you know, who's going to say no? I mean, you know, but it turns out that there's a dark side to the force, as I guess one should expect. Mike, the libertarians say, and again, I'm using your marvelous website here as a cue sheet in some ways. They say extortion by the state is no different than extortion by the mafia. What's your response to that?
Well, the question is whether it's extortion or not. Extortion presumes that the state doesn't own anything. Okay, that whoever's extorting is unjustifiably asking for something and prepared to use force. But if it's justifiable to ask for it, then it's not extortion. So the state is justified in asking for your taxes. It's part of the social contract. They own the territory of the United States. I mean, it's our country, our state.
No, wait a minute. This is my property. I bought it. I own it.
Well, you own property under the United States government. If you look at your documents that say what property you own, they are government documents saying that you own them within a government.
Right. Okay, good one. Mike, we're talking to Mike Huber. We have 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937, and Scott in Santa Fe is on the line. Scott, you have a question for Mike?
Yes. Hi, Mike and Tom. I want to know where the objective part comes in objectivism, and I'll hang up and let you answer. I don't get how it's objective. Thank you.
Thank you, Scott. Mike?
Okay. Ayn Rand has a peculiar philosophy, and part of the phenomenology of her philosophy, that's phenomenology is how you know things. And part of it is that she and other people are able to observe objective reality. And that's where objectivism comes from.
Even though a physicist would fall down laughing.
That's right.
Objective reality is an oxymoron.
Taken seriously by the vast majority of philosophers. It doesn't make scientific sense. There's a whole lot wrong with it. But that's where objectivism comes from. It also happens to be a pirated term. She stole the term from a 1930s school of art.
Oh, interesting.
That had already been using it.
Yeah, very interesting. And in fact, that's one of the things, one of the kind of touche points that the objectivists that I've debated on this program and in the course of my life always try to score as well, I'm simply being rational. I'm simply trying to look at this objectively. And if you want to be subjective about it, if you want to taint your argument with emotionality or with, liberal bias or something like that, then I don't see how we can have this conversation. They get into these kind of rants. We're talking with Mike Huban, who's a non-libertarian fact. Is one of the finest sites on the internet for those who are interested in the foundational thinking in the right wing and the holes therein. This is Tom Hartman on the America Radio Network. Stay tuned. Mike and I will be right back.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements? And what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Hamilton.
And I'm Laura Miller.
Another Korean automaker is getting pressure from its workforce for better pay. By a 4-to-1 margin, 8,000 workers at Daewoo Motors voted yesterday to strike if they're not given a 24% raise. They follow workers at Hyundai, who struck for an 8.5% wage hike, and workers at Kia are in the midst of a series of partial walkouts for an 11% raise. Daewoo, however, is mostly owned by GM and may take a harder line on its workers' demands.
After months of wrangling, the United Steelworkers of America and Goodyear Tire and Rubber Company have a tentative new contract. If approved by some 19,000 steelworkers, the three-year deal would shut the doors on a Goodyear plant in Huntsville, Alabama, pink-slipping 1,100 workers in the process. Other details of the contract are not known, as union leaders are keeping tight-lipped on the fine print. It's not clear that the contract's ratification is a foregone conclusion. Many union officials believe Goodyear workers could reject the deal as they vote on whether or not to accept it over the next 2 weeks.
The stage is being set in the UK for the first widespread postal strike in 7 years. Talks on a new contract between the Royal Mail and 160,000 postal workers broke down this week, and the union plans to start strike balloting next week. Royal Mail has threatened that any strike would cause the money-losing service to lose even more business to private competitors, but many of those competitors are going on record saying they have no plans to try and move in on Royal Mail's market share during a strike. Royal Mail's offered a 14.5% wage increase, but tied it to layoffs and a system-wide overhaul. The Communication Workers Union wants an 8% raise with no strings attached. The results of the strike vote should be known by mid-September.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls.
The Tom Hartman Show, 12 p.m. till 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Helping you win the water cooler wars with uncommon sense from the radical middle. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Mike in our chat room, former Rush fan, says you've been saying Ann and not Ian. Is that a cut or is that actually how it's supposed to be pronounced?
It probably should be Ian. I'm just sloppy about that.
Oh, okay, fine. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number if you have a question for Mike Huben, the author, owner, publisher of the Critiques of Libertarianism website. 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937. And Pete in Reno, Nevada is on the line. Pete, you have a question, comment?
Yes, I do. When the Iraq war got pretty hot, I started to look at a website called antiwar.com. Mm-hmm. That seemed to have a lot of intelligent discussion of the anti-war perspective. And I was soon kind of surprised to find that the site was run by a fellow named Jason Raimondo, who is not only a libertarian, but also kind of a supporter of Patrick Buchanan, who has traditionally been somebody for many years, has sort of scared me quite a bit. And I was just wondering if you knew anything about the website or and could comment on sort of the anti-war perspective of this strain of libertarianism.
Well,
Mike?
Fundamentally, most libertarians are isolationist. Beyond, they think the United States should not have any more defense and is any more war-making ability than is necessary for defense, and that we should confine our defense to within our borders. I mean, I've seen endless arguments from them about how we shouldn't have interfered in World War II, which strikes most people as crackpot. And from what I gather, Buchanan also is very isolationist.
Well, there was a strong sentiment, though. I mean, I have a book that was put together, compiled by Rex Stout, the guy who created the Nero Wolfe character. And Rex Stout was a good Democrat, and it was called the Fabulous Dunderheads. My father found this extraordinary book. It's out of print. It's been out of print since the 40s, and it's a collection of speeches by congressmen and senators opposing the United States intervention in World War II throughout the 1940s, and almost all of them were Republicans. I mean, there was a very, very strong Republican sentiment and conservative sentiment in the United States. The United States should have just let Hitler do whatever he wanted to do.
Isolationism has a long history in the United States, and right back to the founding fathers, there were many isolationists.
Sure, yeah. My point being that this isn't just a libertarian thing.
Right,
Pete. Thanks for the question. Thanks for calling in. I appreciate that. And so we're here with our property. Well, actually, how do you what's your response? I mean, what's other than calling somebody a crackpot, which generally doesn't go very far. How do you respond to the comment that many libertarians make that the United States really shouldn't be involved in foreign adventures? You know, it's this kind of variation on the Monroe Doctrine, I suppose.
Well, there are a number of good reasons why you may want to be involved. I mean, if we go back to good old Franklin Roosevelt, who you were playing some clips from earlier,
mm-hmm.
he had some really good reasons for entering into World War II, and I'm thinking of the Four Freedoms.
Right.
Here's a piece of one of his speeches. In future days, which we seek to make secure, we look forward to a world founded upon four essential human freedoms. The first is freedom of speech and expression, everywhere in the world. The second is freedom of every person to worship God in his own way, everywhere in the world. The third is freedom from want, everywhere in the world. The fourth is freedom from fear, anywhere in the world. Essentially, what he's talking about is bringing liberty to the rest of the world. And that, that's
Mike,
a modern liberal goal.
Isn't that imposing, doesn't that presuppose, I mean, isn't there a certain arrogance associated with that worldview that says, we know what liberty means, we know what you want, we know what you, sort of like the missionaries who go into tribal people and try to convert them to Christianity and give them the good life, you know, and tell them to stop their pagan ways. I mean, isn't there a dark side to that as well?
Yep, there definitely is. But the question is, which is worse? I mean, You look at some of the amazing atrocities going on in the rest of the world, and giving people even a semblance of self-government will make it better. I mean, that's the fundamental issue of liberalism, that you need to have self-government and not government by autocrats and tyrants.
Now, there's really two kind of world views that have to do with how to best change the rest of the world. That is to say, how do we deal with, for example, Robert Mugabe in Zimbabwe, I forget the name of the guy who's in charge there in Burma, and these kinds of, you know, these I mean, genuine despots. These guys make Saddam look like a good guy, you know, and how do you deal with them? And there's the one school of thought that you just go in, kick their butts, throw them out, replace, you know, help either overtly, as we just did in Iraq, or covertly, as we did in Iran, for example, in 1950, either 51 or 53, when Mossadegh got overthrown by the Shah, or by the CIA, and we brought the Shah in. And the other school of thought is that the best way to have these people be overthrown is to create prosperity and freedom, and, you know, just to create as positive a world as you can, starting at home, and helping other nations also achieve prosperity. And, of course, there's big debates about how to accomplish that, and legitimate debates, but in any case. But the kind of providing people with something that they will then take the reins, and they'll even take on their own government to get because they want it so badly, or the we come in on the white horse and charge in. I mean, how does one know where the appropriate balance is in there?
Well, it's going to be very hard to know the exact right place. What you do know is that some things are so far from any of the possible right places that something ought to be done. And a good landmark, well, there are some basic ideas that I like. The idea of the UN Declaration of Human Freedoms and Rights as a measure of how far from where the countries should be.
Right, although then, instead of the United States going into other countries and saying, you know, we're going to run the show, it's the world community going in and
Absolutely.
We participating in that.
Absolutely.
That's a very different thing.
I mean, I don't think the UN is the right organization personally, because I think it has terrible, terrible defects in its organization. It lacks the checks and balances, for example, that our own government has. But I think that eventually we might arrive at some sort of world federalism comparable to that of the United States or some of the other nations. And the idea would be that this world federalism would guarantee to the people of each state within it a democratic government, just as our own government does now.
Mm-hmm. And that, yeah, okay. So
but we're now, getting far from libertarianism here,
right? Right. What do you think are the key tenets? What are the main, you know, two or three main points that the libertarians always make that you can easily knock down?
Well, it sort of they approach it from different directions. They have about 25 or 30 basic principles or foundations that they like to tell people about that I've collected. But the big ones are that they think people should have untrammeled liberty, untrammeled rights to property, and I think that's a good starting place right there, that they should not be coerced.
Okay, let's take that. I remember, I'm sorry, Mike, you were going to say something.
Well, the big problem is that these are all glittering generalities of propaganda.
Yeah.
Okay, and once you start looking at the specifics, then you have to start saying liberty for who to do what. And that's where they start getting very confused they start contradicting each other because they don't agree.
Yeah.
And that's where the holes in their arguments really lie, once you get past these vague generalities.
Yeah. When Bush was proposing his third round of tax cuts here in this last year, Sean Hannity's on the radio in our town here, and if I drive someplace, you turn on the radio, and there he is. I must have heard him, I don't think I've probably listened to his show 15 times in the last year, but at least half of those seem to have been during that period of time. And he kept saying this, it was like a mantra. It's your money, you earned it, the government doesn't have any right to it, you'd be richer if you kept your money, don't you think that's a good thing? And these kinds of, rants. And this is very, very libertarian in its origin.
Before libertarianism, too, because people like Thomas Jefferson, who was definitely not a libertarian, also said similar things. But what these people are missing is that there are pre-existing obligations. If you go in, let's say I go in as a salesman to an employer and I sell $100,000 worth of goods. Okay, do I get to keep the $100,000? No, because the goods aren't mine. Because I've got an agreement with my employer that he gets to keep a percentage of the profit from my sales. Okay, there's pre-existing agreements, and one of them is our social contract.
Right.
And it's only by directing you away from the actual reality of the situation, making you forget with their arguments, and myopic our arguments, that we have these other obligations that they can try and, everybody will nod their head, yes, it is my money, but it's not all of it, your money.
Yeah, yeah. Well, okay, here a couple, let's just knock off a couple more arguments here. We've got about 5 minutes left in this segment here. We live in a fairly libertarian society in the United States. We lived in a fairly libertarian society in the United States 150 years ago.
And that's just plain revisionist history. The states were extremely strong regulators of local life back then, much more so than they are now. The federal government has helped reduce that, as a matter of fact. The taxes are higher now, which is different, but the fact is we're so much richer, it doesn't really matter. We still get to keep vastly more money than we had back then anyhow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was not a large middle class 150 years ago.
No, the middle class is actually a creation of government, a policy. It didn't happen by accident that the United States has the biggest middle class in the world. That was a deliberate social policy.
I'm not sure that the United States does. I would say that probably the Scandinavian democracies have on a per capita basis, have larger middle classes.
Yes, you're probably right. And they're
probably
much more socialist than we are, too.
Right. I lived in Germany for a year, and I would say that probably Germany has a much larger middle class. There are very few people living in absolute desperate poverty in Germany, or at least there in 1986-87 when I lived there. Now the libertarians would say, then what you're suggesting is statism. What is statism?
Statism is their idea of a bad thing. It's a demonization word. You're an evil statist where I am not. And essentially, I can disregard everything you say because you're evil. It's like rationality. I'm rational. You're not. So I can disregard everything you say.
Right. So this is just a semantic argument. Yeah, it's a and might makes right, they say, is the principle behind statism. And what you're saying is that because you think that people should do it that way, that this is all about protecting people from themselves.
Well, all rights, including property, are created by might and nothing else. A lot of libertarians believe in natural rights, but there is no such animal. That's nonsense on stilts, as Hobbes said centuries ago. An interesting thing about natural rights. Natural rights are the idea that people have rights inherent in themselves simply because they are people, and that these come from God or something like this. And the whole idea is liberal malarkey. I mean, I'm as liberal as the next guy, but this was sheer propaganda for 3 or 4 centuries ago, where you had the problem that the conservatives were talking about the rights of kings, which were given by God.
Right.
And so people invented, the liberals invented this idea of natural rights to combat the idea of rights
right.
of kings.
John Locke in his second treatise on government in 1724.
Right.
And in fact, to this day, if you go to the United Kingdom, their coins have a series of letters on them that stand for the Latin words that say something to the effect of the queen who rules by the grace of God or
right.
by the authority of God.
Right. And so natural rights were created to oppose this. And they're propaganda. What rights really are is legal fictions, okay, where we say the law is backing up this claim.
That we collectively agree to.
That's
we're
right.
back to the social contract.
That's right. Rights are created through social contracts, or they may be created just plain by brute force directly. Okay, you know, slavery. You know, mm-hmm. you just go and collect yourself a slave by force, and you've got rights over the slave. That's the way it works.
Now, yesterday on Faux News, there was some guy, this was this Judge Moore thing, you know, with the Ten Commandments down there, and he was saying, if you liberals had your way with all this power of the government to control our lives, this would still be a slave-owning nation.
Well, that's very amusing, since slavery has only been abolished by governments in history. You will not find any example where slavery was actually eliminated any other way. And as a matter of fact, slavery is a capitalist problem. It's always arisen because capitalists could make a buck at it.
Oh, interesting. You're right. That's spot on. And Mike, this is great. Now, we've got just about half a minute here left. Libertarianism in one lesson and no treason, the Constitution of no authority. What are these?
No treason is a rant by Lysander Spooner, who is an 1840s lawyer. And it's a libertarian document, an anarchist libertarian document of, you know, the early liberal era. My Libertarianism in One Lesson is a parody of a book by a libertarian former presidential candidate. And it essentially ridicules a whole lot of libertarian viewpoints very, very compactly, one sentence each. And I recommend it to people who want to laugh. If you've ever argued with libertarians, you'll start roaring when you read this.
Okay, great. We're talking with Mike Huben. Mike, thank you very much for being on the program today.
Happy to.
I am so grateful that you were able to show up. Libertarianism, plug that into Google. You'll find Mike's website, Critiques of Libertarianism. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Stay tuned. We'll be back after this break.
A real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation, but how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
Nice drive, Jim.
Thanks. You know, I wish my business plan was as straight. We just can't grow anymore with our current facility. I've looked at the price to build, but I'm afraid to spend the money.
Jim, I've known you since you've started your business. You succeeded because you made tough decisions and took risk.
Well...
Look, I had the same problem, but I called General Steel Corporation. The general helped me build my new office and warehouse, and I stayed within my budget. I couldn't believe the time and money I saved compared to traditional construction.
That's a steel building?
It sure is, but with the stucco and rock products provided by the general, you just can't tell. They engineered the building for this area and to fit my needs. When the economy rebounds, I'll be ready to gain market share.
Save time and money with a General Steel building. Call toll free 1-866-96-STEEL. Whether you need a 40 by 60 for under $13,000 or a 60 by 200 for under $49,000, call 1-866-96-STEEL. If you need space, you need the general. Call 1-866-96-STEEL today.
Hi, Tom Baudet from Motel 6. Dog owners will be happy to know whether your best friend is a purebred show dog or the lovably mixed-up product of a neighborhood indiscretion. They're equally welcome at Motel 6. No judgments here. So put the old Cocker Chow Labrador mix in the back seat and hit the road. But first call 1-800-4-MOTEL-6 or visit motel6.com. I'm Tom Baudet, and we'll leave the light on for you. Anacor Hotel.
When I wear black, even a little dandruff shows. And my old dandruff shampoo just wasn't cutting it. I still had flakes and dry scalp. So I switched to Celsin Blue Moisturizing Shampoo with aloe and moisturizers. Doctor recommended Celsin Blue has a proven ingredient to relieve dandruff. Plus, it keeps my hair and scalp healthy and flake-free.
If you see flakes, try Celsin Blue. Celsin Blue Moisturizing Dandruff Shampoo.
I'm telling you, it really works.
Never wear black without the blue. Celsin Blue. Use as directed.
Tom Hartman Show.
The computerized voting machines in the last election, our question is the theft of your vote. On our chat room here, Brain Shrub points out that H is the eighth letter of the alphabet, A is the first letter of the alphabet. So if you take that 18181, the exact number of votes that three different candidates in one county in Texas got on these computerized voting machines, and you simply convert it to letters, it becomes... Is it a conspiracy or a coincidence?
Okay, first of all, I wanted to say congratulations. We were elected to the White House by one of the narrowest margins in history. 63% of registered voters.
Wait a second. You wanted me to poll registered voters?
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
Hi, this is Bobby Likas, host of Bobby Likas Car Clinic, inviting you to join me Saturday mornings from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern here on IE America Radio Network. People love to talk cars, and local sponsors know that. But IE America Radio has other shows as well. Shows that your listeners will love, that will attract local sponsors, and shows that will set your station above the rest. Go to IEAmericaRadio.com and take a look and listen for yourself to see what's available. That's IEAmericaRadio.com.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Mother, Mother Ocean, I've heard you call, wanted to sail upon your waters. I was 3 feet tall. You've seen it all. You've seen it all.
Mother Ocean, you know who's seen it all? One of the interesting things, when I was writing Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight, I came across this bit of research that just absolutely amazed me. And that was that there was no life on planet Earth for the first roughly 2 billion years of the existence of this planet because the ozone layer had not yet formed. It took that long for the small amounts of oxygen that were free in the atmosphere to get sufficiently ionized to create an ozone layer that could shield the Earth from the deadly ultraviolet radiation that then set the stage for the growth of life on Earth. And the very earliest life had to be deep in the ocean where the UV radiation couldn't get it. And if the ozone layer were to completely go, there would be no life on Earth, at least no terrestrial life on Earth. Remarkable stuff. Our quote for the day is, chain is no stronger than its weakest link, and life is, after all, a chain. Here's the ultimate in the objectivist, the stuff that we've been talking about here. This from today's New York Times. Draft of air rule is said to exempt many old plants. What's going on is we've got this new person coming in to run the EPA, Governor Leavitt of Utah, and he's actually on record as being opposed to this. He wanted clean air in Utah, and so they're gonna put this in before he comes in. It's as a rule. They're just, you know, going to do it by fiat that would exempt 17,000 industrial plants and refineries from provisions of the Clean Air Act. The exemption, I'm quoting from the New York Times here, the exemption would let industrial plants continue to emit hundreds of thousands of tons of pollutants into the atmosphere, which, my adding this, which will cause many, many cases of cancer and other diseases, back to the New York Times, and could save the companies millions, if not billions of dollars in pollution equipment costs, even if they increase the amount of pollution that they emit. This is, industry for a decade has been pushing for this. And Senator James Jeffords, he says, this is malfeasance. Absolutely wrong. Our program was engineered today by Steph Stryker in Detroit. Extraordinary Steph, and produced by Louise Hartman and Joe McPherson. Louise here in Vermont and Joe in Georgia. This is Tom Hartman. Thanks for joining us today. Thanks for joining us this week. And we'll see you back here same time, same place on Monday morning, afternoon, however it is in your time zone. Thanks a lot. Against disorder from the sirens
night and day from the fires. You've been listening to the Tom Hartman program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
Truth Seekers, this is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
Talk, not your father's radio program, take 47.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday.
Sunday. Yeah!
Animal celebrity boxing.
We're going to kick some butt.
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
What a cat.
And that dog on ice, Tonya Harding.
Tonya Harding, she'll fight anyone for a buck.
Animal